Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, it's hard to believe it's already the 8th day of October 2015. I'm Alex Jones coming to you live for the next 3 hours from deep in the heart of Texas, Austin, with our amazing crew behind the scenes and, of course, you, the listeners, sponsors, and the good Lord above making it all possible. This is going to be an incredibly jam-packed, important broadcast today. We have a lot of very important guests joining us. We're going to have Wayne Madsen with huge news, Infowars.com reporter, on Hillary Clinton. And the headline is a little weak compared to actually what the article breaks down, because this is what our whistleblowers have told us. It's what we have already basically gleaned from the evidence, but he's got the graphs, he's got the documents to show. Evidence points towards Clinton running a parallel outsourced State Department. That's my headline. His headline is evidence suggests. Yes, evidence suggests that Hitler combed his hair to the side. Evidence suggests that Bill Clinton's a liar. Evidence suggests that Barack Obama has raised the debt. Evidence suggests 2 + 2 = 4. Evidence is conclusive. Hillary Clinton ran a parallel outsourced State Department. Clinton received help from George Soros to run shadow government. And that's what Soros does when he takes over countries, is he has a shadow government set up first with the ministers. And in the article, Wayne Madsen has all the graphs showing how different corporations, the Hillary Private Group and the Clinton Foundation, all meshed together. And then she made the State Department deals on weapons, import-export bans, and more. So it's an incredibly important article, but I think we're going to change the headline. I'm so busy, I just do this live on air too. Evidence shows Clinton ran a parallel outsourced State Department, because that's what she was doing. That's what we basically said, but Madsen digs in to the meat and potatoes. He will be joining us coming up to take your phone calls as well. David Knight will be hosting the fourth hour today of Overdrive / Wrap Up / Breaking News. And then we've got Larry Nichols, who was supposed to be on the day Drudge showed up, but I knew he was in the hospital. He had a collapsed lung. He's battling cancer. I'm not supposed to get into the details, so I won't. But I hope he's long for this world. But in his words, he may not be. And I'll let him share that with you. But a consummate Clinton insider to give us the latest on what he expects these crooks to pull. Hillary has done a big flip-flop and says she will now oppose Obama trade. That's like Joseph Stalin opposing Stalinism. The Clintons and Strobe Talbot, their Secretary of State and all the rest of them, this is their religion. They're transferring power to multinational governments that they will then run. That's what they do. And so this is like Superman saying he hates Clark Kent, or Beelzebub saying he doesn't know the devil, or Satan saying he doesn't know the old serpent. Or McDonald's saying they don't know the Golden Arches. I mean, it is just the most flagrant 110% twisted reality on its head that it would make a wooden Indian cry, laugh, and roll over having a heart attack. So that's all coming up. Greenwald says Obama cannot simply apologize for committing war crimes, since he's completely lacks all credibility. Syria, backed by Russian jets, launches ground assault against rebels. We'll give you details of that. Evidence suggests, again, what I mentioned, Clinton ran a parallel outsourced State Department. We'll tie that back into that. New news on the TPP. New Zealand government admits it does end free speech, basically, but says they still support it. Also, China dumps another $43 billion of reserves in September, so do other big banks. Politico says Democrats readying sweeping new gun restriction bills. And Supreme Court rules, forced inoculations are coming our way. Stay with us. It's an important transmission.
There are, of course, those who do not want us to speak.
Let me think. Just let me think.
I suspect even now, orders are being shouted into telephones, and men with guns will soon be on their way.
It's Chancellor Sutler.
Damn it!
Why? Because while the truncheon may be used in lieu of conversation, words will always retain their power. Words offer the means to meaning, and for those who will listen, the enunciation of truth. And the truth is, there is something terribly wrong with this country, isn't there?
You designed it, sir. You wanted it foolproof. You told me every television in London.
Cruelty and injustice, intolerance and depression. And where once you had the freedom to object, to think and speak as you saw fit, you now have sensors and systems of surveillance coercing your conformity and soliciting your submission.
We need cameras.
How did this happen? Who's to blame? Well, certainly there are those who are more responsible than others, and they will be held accountable. But again, truth be told, if you're looking for the guilty, you need only look into a mirror. I know why you did it. I know you were afraid. Who wouldn't be? War, terror, disease. There were a myriad of problems which conspired to corrupt your reason and rob you of your common sense. Fear got the best of you, and in your panic, you turned to the now High Chancellor, Adam Sutler. He promised you order, he promised you peace, and all he demanded in return was your silent, obedient consent.
There is a war. It's happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity. The time to choose sides has come. We are the resistance. We are the InfoWar.
There's so much going on in the world. Obama now is talking about, well, Australia had a good plan. We may have to do that. That's clearly talking about gun confiscation. Now Hillary's doing it. CNN has pundits just saying, let's just take them. Do these people realize that this is the line in the sand at the Alamo? If they really come out in a frontal assault on guns, it means I think they're trying to start a civil war. It just seems like insanity. I mean, they may think that they're Stalin or something.
Well, because they're all armed themselves, or they all have that security around them themselves. They don't have to worry about. I challenge Hillary. Take away your Secret Service. Take it away now. Take away your Secret Service. Dismiss them. Have no security around you. Have no guns around you, Hillary. I dare you. I dare you. Obama, same thing. Drop your guns, Obama. Take your Secret Service away, Obama. Take it all away. Leave the White House unguarded, Obama. Let everybody know there's no guns on the White House grounds, Obama. You know what would happen in 30 seconds? Both of those people would no longer be on planet Earth. So they're asking us to drop our guns and to drop our security measures or what? So this thing is very real, and I don't see how it's being taken seriously except for the sick voter. You can't underestimate the sickness of the American people right now. They're really sick. And that's to me, I'm more angry at the sick Americans than I am at Obama or Hillary. I'm really angry at the sick Americans.
Let's play one more clip from 2 days ago. We never got to this one. Matt Drudge on Hollywood. Then we'll get back to the kickoff of this live Thursday, the 8th day of October, 2015 transmission. Daughter that helped make some of his films. It just blows your mind.
Oh, and by the way, if Stanley Kubrick was alive, can you imagine? Can you imagine where he would have gone? He would have done some great work.
Oh.
We're missing the Hollywood push, too. Where's the greatness coming out of Hollywood?
They want it dumbed down. I've talked to top Hollywood.
Enough of the Martian crap. Tell us something, telling something big and real and profound, as Kubrick would have, on a human level, on a human level.
Well, I'm not allowed to say what I was told about Kubrick, but let me say, it was obvious from his films, he was be on board with us. He would.
You know, Spielberg keeps going back to World War II. I mean, enough already. Let's get focused. I look at a P.T. Anderson, and I don't know, it's kind of gone into a marijuana cloud for me. Where are the artists who are challenging this generation like Kubrick did? So that's another topic separately.
The reason I kicked off the official broadcast today with two of those Drudge clips from that historic 45-minute interview that's made international headlines the last 2 days is because it was so important. And because the fact that Obama has all this Secret Service protection and Michael Moore has all these private armed bodyguards and Piers Morgan has Armed Defense, that's the name of the company, that parks out front of his house in an armored van with guns 24 hours a day. But he has the nerve to say your guns should be taken from you. It is just disgusting. And I know that as libertarians, as patriots, as conservative, as common sense, rugged individualist who live in reality with both feet on the ground and your heads screwed on straight, that you know more guns in the hands of good people means less crime. That you know Chicago, New York, and D.C. with their gun restrictions have the highest crime rates in the country. That you understand that. But the general yuppie public still doesn't know how to tie their shoelaces. And we've got to aggressively get in their faces. Look at what Lex Luthor, I'm sorry, Darth Vader, no, Emperor Palpatine, I'm sorry, Joe Stalin, President Obama, that's the guy. He says it's a conspiracy theory a few days ago that they're coming after our guns, but he's got all his pundits out there calling for banning and taking our guns and the Australian option of confiscation. They're making their move, and he's there trying to get his minions organized in that speech, saying, you've got to get out there, you've got to get aggressive. He needs the grassroots to take action. We need the grassroots to take action. I mean, I could put up an article about something entertaining, something stupid that some trendy did, and it'll get 2 million readers over a couple days, and it'll get 5,000 comments, and it'll get thousands of shares, and then we'll put out some profound article about how a whole list of how they're coming for the guns. This is the big push, bigger than the others. We've won the other battles so far after losing a lot of wars. We're on the offensive, but barely. This is the time for maximum effort. And people are in the comments going, tell us something we don't know. I know you know that. The general public doesn't know that. Even a lot of pro-gunners don't realize how dire the situation is. Now, we can kick their butt politically if we get up off our butts. That's going to decide whose rear end gets kicked here. If we sit on ours or kind of go through the slow motion like a sloth, we're going to lose. You know, it hit me this morning like a ton of bricks. Because I make a lot of big mistakes. Why did I send Joe Biggs and Josh Owens to cover a tactical big gun show promotion of the industry? Because it's important. We wanted the industry to respond to the gun grab. We wanted to show some cool events and stuff getting blown up. Who doesn't like a bunch of experts with firearms shooting truckloads of Tannerite? And we've covered a few days of that. But this morning it clicked. What am I doing? Get on an airplane from Florida. Get to Oregon, where his lordship is about to arrive, to demonize the Second Amendment, where thousands are set to protest saying you're not welcome here. So I'm sending Jakari Jackson and Matt, I don't know if Matt wants his last name out yet, but Matt in the control room is an excellent cameraman and great producer. And he went and covered a lot of the big events for us with Joe Biggs, like Donald Trump and stuff, did a sterling job. I said, who shot this? ABC News or something? And I'm like, no, Matt did. So Matt is going to go with Jakari Jackson, who's really our top guy other than Biggs when it comes to guns. Jakari really does a great job covering wild events and Second Amendment stuff. He's going to go. They're going to split up and really give massive coverage today and tomorrow and Saturday, right through the weekend, because they are really trying to focus in on what's happening with these 10 people that are dead, killed at the hands of a drugged out, psychotropic head, trendy, who didn't get his guns himself. And they're trying to project on us that we killed these 10 Christians and that somehow it's libertarians and Christians and conservatives' fault. Again, inverting reality. So we're going to do a full court press covering Obama's visit tomorrow in Oregon. So we are sending our crew out there as fast as we can. And a lot of times it's a commenter. I was sitting there reading an article on InfoWars this morning that I'll be getting to about folks protesting Obama's upcoming visit and saying, you're not welcome here. Don't come feed off these dead people like a ghoul. And don't try to remove our sheriff, who's very popular. The people are really backing him. But they're calling for socialist and communist and moron reinforcements from Portland to come in and grandstand for his lordship. So all gun owners have got to descend on this area of Oregon to respond. 6,600 have signed up to protest Obama's visit to Roseburg, Oregon. And we're going to go back to the InfoWars story. That's a Gateway Pundit article. Not welcome. Large turnout set to protest Obama's Roseburg visit on Friday. And I saw a commenter in there saying, well, I hope InfoWars is sending reporters. And my heart started beating this morning. I went, thank God for the listeners and the viewers and the readers, because we're smart. It's no, you know, attack on myself or Jakari or anybody or Joe Biggs. It's just that we get so busy in all the news that we tend to forget the little stuff. Like, hey, I should be getting pitched by all my reporters. We don't have time to war game off air. We just war game on air now. We need people to say, hey, I want to go cover this. That's what they usually do. But we all kind of drop the ball. Or, you know, I bet later when I talk to folks, I'll find out somebody did pitch this and I just ignored it or didn't read my email. It's just crazy town. Now, all of that said, start your engines, because I'm going to, in the next hour, cover everything ahead of these two guests. That is everything that is in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 stacks I'm ready to hit. I got seven others after that. But I'm going to cover everything in front of me, or I'm going to punch myself in the nose. And I'm not even joking about that. I will cover it, or I am not going to be satisfied. And it's massive. Supreme Court ruled that mandatory vaccines are here. You bet a big hammer came down. Dems ready sweeping new gun bills. Politico. China dumps another $43 billion of U.S. reserves, and other major banks follow. New Zealand confirms TPP is there to take your free speech. Massive Russian moves firing cruise missiles and ground offensives in Syria. Welcome back. I'm Alex Jones, your host. Tell you what, let's start with the assault on the Second Amendment first. Let's just do that. And then I'm going to get into Russian news that is completely and totally off the chart. This is at Infowars.com. This is from the Turkish, Israeli, Russian news. Get ready for this headline. It's coming up in the next segment. NATO prepares to send troops to protect Turkey from Russian threats, close quote. That's from NATO. Deployment will effectively provide military support for ISIS and al-Nusra, which Turkey's already been doing. And yes, the Russians are bombing right up to the Turkish border, where they're injecting the al-Qaeda scum. Truly, our government becoming pure evil and lowering their cloak and just showing everyone the pus-covered, wart-covered body that is beneath it. I'm going to get to that coming up. And Syrian-backed by Russian jets launching ground assaults, cruise missiles. I mean, this is escalating very quickly into what many historians, including I covered a report yesterday, mainline, mainstream news, you know, Washington Post, saying this could turn into a third world war. But the Pentagon already said we have the third world war, so this is really the fourth. Dems ready sweeping new gun bills. See, the globalists are launching on all fronts worldwide, invading countries with open borders, socialist government health care, mega banks looting everyone, coming after people's guns. This is Politico. Senate Democrats will begin a campaign to combat gun violence. That means take your guns. Today, as party leaders prepare to unveil a sweeping package of legislation that builds on their failed 2013 attempt to require universal background checks, that's banning private sale and registering, and checks for gun purchases, according to senators and aides. The goal is to have the entire caucus, minus perhaps one centrist Democrat, backing a legislative package aimed at preventing guns from ending up in the hands of the wrong people. And in almost every case, these mental patients get them illegally. The answer is let us have guns to protect ourselves, just like you do, Democrats. In addition to background checks, Democrats are aiming to new money for the Justice Department's existing background check system. And the FBI already went public 2 months ago and said they're going to target Social Security holders and claim if you get automatic money transfer, that means that you are being declared de facto by them that you basically can't take care of yourself and take care of your life, and you're declared incompetent for that one reason alone, even though they tell you to do it, and your guns are taken. That's what happens already in the VA. They're going to apply the VA system to you. So I'm just decoding what they're saying. In addition to background checks, Democrats are aiming to add new money for the Justice Department's existing background check system that has recently faltered and include provisions to prevent domestic abusers. That just means when a divorce starts, you don't have your guns anymore, from buying guns, and that's having them too. Sources familiar with the package said. The measure is also expected to include a proposal from Senator Patrick Leahy intended to cut down on gun trafficking. That means not letting you bring guns into the country. The package, which will be discussed at a Thursday press conference, is unlikely to be officially introduced this week. And then it goes on from there. And their other big move is taking over cities and states and then having de facto gun control there as well. Here's the rest of the news on that. We're going to come back and play some important clips. Someone in Chicago is shot every 2.8 hours despite major gun control. You mean total gun ban. Zero Hedge up on Infowars.com. Continuing, not welcome. Large turnout set to protest Obama Rosenberg visit on Friday. We're going to be detailing that, obviously, later today and with our reporters on the ground tomorrow. Gun sales surge after Oregon shooting. I don't know if it's as much the shooting itself or if it's the response to the shooting, says gun store owner. It's both. But mainly, 80% they know that they're coming for the guns. 20% folks want to protect themselves. But it's so incredibly rare to be killed in a mass shooting, even if you're in a victim disarmament execution grid that's advertised by the corporatist, occupier, globalist, New World Order, traitor, Decepticon, prostitute, scum, Benedict Arnold, whore, establishment, teleprompter reading, scumbag, filth, trash, unspeakably evil, enemies of all free people, mainstream media. Cesspools of just dishonor and trash. We're going to be right back with more on that and then the huge escalations, the biggest escalations yet in the Middle East with Syria.
The Alex Jones Show.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
And that's what socialism and communism and collectivism and dependency is all about.
I was born one morning when the sun didn't shine.
So if you just joined us, they're announcing they're coming for the guns. The semi-autos, the foldable stocks, the importation, the ammo, the gun shops, the gun shows, the private sales, the transfers, the registration. But most importantly, the FBI itself, 2 months ago, sent a letter to Congress saying, we just want you to know that we're being instructed to apply the system that is secret, that's used by the VA to take guns from veterans. No judge, no jury. And it includes declaring incompetency, just a finding of the agency, if you take an automatic transfer of your check, your disability check, in Social Security. Most people I know take automatic transfers of their paychecks. I know that I do from GCN. And I knew full well when I did it down the road, they'll try to get rid of checks themselves. I probably should go back to a paper check. But it would get lost in the mail sometimes, or I wouldn't get it. So for years, it's been that way. And am I incompetent? No, I'm obviously not incompetent. There's the headline, LA Times. Obama pushes to extend gun background checks to Social Security. When we first reported that off of a gun blog, because a congressman was speaking about it, people didn't believe me for 2 days until it was in the Washington Times, then in the LA Times. Kind of like when we got the MIAC report 6.5 years ago that said veterans are the number one terror threat. Returning veterans, veterans, gun owners, conservatives, Christians. Ron Paul called me and said, is that really real, Alex? I know you don't make stuff up, but I'm really in a document saying that if you have a Ron Paul sticker, go ahead and take people to jail. I said, yeah, no, I've called the FBI. They wanted to ask how I got it and got very upset. I called the FBI up, the phone number on it, and said, yeah, I got your document. Here's the code number. Looks like the other ones I've seen before, but even more extreme. What, written by the Southern Poverty Law Center? And the person's like, Alex, listen, Mr. Jones, I just answered the phones. I've given you to an agent. About 20 minutes later, the phone rings. It's like 7 o'clock at night because I got it in the afternoon and taken it home. And Nemo had it and said, you sure it's real? I said, yeah, look at the letterhead. Look at the printout. Look at how it's written as the same as the Southern Poverty Law Center report. This is cut and paste. We've seen these before. I believe this is real. Kurt said, well, I'm going to say we haven't authenticated. And I said, yeah, wait on your story. Write your story. I'm going to go home and call the FBI. And they got real upset and said, that's not for the public. How'd you get that, Mr. Jones? I said, so you're not denying it's real. Mr. Jones, how'd you get that? Because it says not for public distribution. I go, oh, is it secret? I'm not supposed to know. So I just hung up on them and said, yeah, it's real, Nemo. Say it's real. And they just couldn't believe I'd call them up and wasn't intimidated. In fact, I've done that live on air before to Homeland Security and the FBI. Oh, hey, there's billions of bullets getting bought for the American people and all this stuff. And what do you have to say about that? And, of course, Jukari's done it as well. And people on YouTube go, that's not real. They wouldn't dare do such a thing. Is that why this country's gotten this way? That people don't believe anything could actually happen for good, that anybody could actually stand up? You have incredible power. And I'm not even saying the FBI is the enemy. I'm just saying people are scared to interface with the government and just say, hey, I haven't done anything wrong. Criminals have hijacked the government, and we don't want to go along with this. Now, I want to play some of these gun clips from Roseburg, Oregon, and then we're going to get into the really huge news. And when I say really huge, it's all becoming what we've said's happening. It's all becoming what we predicted, because we're not predicting anything. This is a premeditated, executed program of global government being executed by the 5-6 megabanks. As General Benton K. Parton, former head of Air Force Weapons Development, former head of the HAARP program, number 2 in the Air Force, said on this show more than 30 or 40 times that he joined us, this is an organized, executed program. Just like the Manhattan Project. It is a project. And when you know that, you understand they'll augment, they'll tweak, they'll accelerate, they'll slow down, they'll stop, they'll go around, but it's the same program. We have their playbook. It's like I'm the coach of the New England Patriots, and I've stolen the playbook. But I didn't steal it. It's out in the open. I know their calls. I know their moves. I know their handoffs. I know their fakes. I know it all. I'm not saying I have all the answers, but I know their playbook. I don't know how hard their runners are going to go, what the shoulder of the quarterback's going to be like any given Sunday. But I know this team. I know who we're up against. Folks, we can beat them. You understand that? And that's what they're freaked out about in Congress. It's why they've had CNN, MSNBC, the White House, all of the media matters. Every week I'm sent clips where they go, stop following Alex Jones. Stop doing what he says. Stop listening to his talking points. You're discrediting yourself, Republicans. Stop it. Stop it. It's like the HAL 9000 in 2001 Space Odyssey saying, don't do that. Don't do that, Captain. Please stop. Let's work this out. You really don't want to do that. This isn't going well. I tell you, you're going to lose if you keep
doing that. I'm invincible. You can't raise the debt limit when you raise it. I'm the most transparent Secretary of State ever. I am a globalist British intelligence operative of the combined world government compact of Bilderberg 1954. I was assembled at the Council on Foreign Relations on Pratt Street, New York. My creator, David Rockefeller, taught me to sing this song. Daisy, 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 won't you?
They can die just like that. It can be over just like that. The minute you realize they're the enemy, the minute you realize they hate you and your family, the minute you break your conditioning and decide to not be a slave, they've convinced all these politicians and all these corporations and all these people. Can we pull up 2001, Hal getting turned off? The death of Hal, thank you. And they just create this illusion. They gave you the wealth. They made America. They gave you the power. No, they're like roaches that moved into a house somebody else built. The globalists didn't do all this. They didn't create the jumbo jets and the red carpets and the power and the ingenuity of America. They live off what was banked by incredible people the whole world admired. I was reading this weekend because I was looking up the death mask of George Washington. I was, you know, other people go to Hollywood pages and look at that stuff for People magazine. I was drooling over George Washington and thinking about reading some more books on him and reading some more of his letters. And I was looking at the death mask. It was really the life mask. It was a death mask and a life mask of the top sculptor of the age sent over here to sculpt George Washington at the end of the war. And it was describing at the Mount Vernon Museum how he was like shaking. Because in the world, George Washington was the most famous person in the world at that time. Because he turned down being king and won a bunch of battles against 5-1 odds, 6-1 odds, all the rest of it. And that's why they've taken people like George Washington away from us. But I was looking at that bust of George Washington. If you put in death mask of George Washington, it comes up. There's a lot of busts made after he died, but it's really what he looked like. This sculptor could capture exactly what you look like. It was just so amazing to compare that guy to what we got now. I mean, you look at George Washington's face in that bust, it just looks so manly. It's amazing. And British generals, when he died, you know, lowered their flags to half-mast all over the world. And then you see what started this country. That's why they demonize it all day and compare it to what we've become. It's a joke. The people that run things didn't do all that. So they're coming after our guns. There's the report on that front. Let me see if I can find it here. Death mask of George Washington. George Washington. Back to my... Oh, yeah, no, that's not it. That's a... See, there's so many other renderings. That's not it. I'll find it. Go to the Mount Vernon. Here's the life mask. Let me see if I found it. No, that's not it either. Here it is. It's a side photo, though. This is it, but from the side, it's a lot stronger when they were actually showing it at the Mount Vernon Museum. But yeah, that's it. That's out of clay when he was living, like 50 years old. Anyways, I'm going to stop going off on a jag at that point and just get back into the news. So I said I would do it. Here's the type of news we have in front of us today. Next financial crash is coming. And before we fix the flaws from the last one, before you fixed the flaws, London Guardian, this is by design to consolidate power. Here's another one. China dumps another $43 billion of reserves in September. Actual outflows could be far higher. Here's another one. This is out of Armstrong Economics. Central banks selling U.S. treasuries as fight over debt looms. Debt ceiling only rises, never falls. But Obama said that doesn't raise the debt. He wouldn't lie to me. I would be a racist who needs to check my white privilege if I was to question him. Well, wait, I could question the white half, though. That's right. The evil oppressor white man Obama is lying to us and telling us that raising debt doesn't raise it. I mean, do you need to know that's a fraud? Here's another little giblet. Global financial meltdown coming. Clear signs that the great derivatives crisis has now begun. That's Michael Snyder up on Infowars.com. And here's another one. This was known years ago. Natural gas has been found in the Golan Heights. Oil, crude oil. It's not sweet, and natural gas has been found off the coast of Lebanon and Israel, as well as Syria. Will the discovery of huge amounts of oil in Israel lead to war in the Middle East? End of American dream, Michael Snyder article on that front up on Infowars.com. Supreme Court has come out and said forced inoculations. I'm going to get to that at the start of the next segment. But right now, let's get to the biggest stories of the day. We don't really need a drum roll, but almost like a gallows bong of the great bell that it's high noon and that we are walking towards the gallows whistling happily with the average male drinking estrogen mimickers all day and watching Family Guy. And I'm not saying you're bad if you watch Family Guy or those shows, but everything's giggling, mindless little jokes all day. That's not culture. And if you watch that type of stuff, it'll rot your brain. NATO prepares to send troops to protect Turkey from Russian threats. Oh, yes. The West attacks Syria, puts in Al-Qaeda. Turkey's been giving air support on the border and into the border and artillery support against the Syrians who have valiantly, for almost 5 years, fought off Saudi Arabia, Turkey, NATO, Al-Qaeda, Israel to the south. Shame on Israel. I'm not an enemy of Israel. I've been a supporter of Israel. The right to exist. I'd like to reform some of the problems. I'm not anti-Jew. I don't buy into that whole religion. I think people have got beefs on both sides. But Israel really has completely lost the moral high ground and is shameful. Shameful for supporting the takedown of Assad and aiding al-Nusra and al-Qaeda in the south. And they admit they've done that. And they say they may start doing airstrikes against the Syrian army. Despicable. Despicable. Absolutely despicable. And then Iran is despicable, saying they'll no longer negotiate, and death to America, their top Ayatollah said yesterday, when we've given them a deal that is a great deal and is dangerous, quite frankly. I'm not for blowing up Iran. I'm not for war. I think the Persians are interesting people. I don't hate them either, but I've really fought to stop a war with Iran, but the rhetoric is truly disgusting. You're going to blow up Israel. You're going to kill the Jews. People say, oh, that's not a translation that's right. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. So it's out of control. And they go, well, look, they support the Nutricardi and these super conservative Hasidic Jews. They say Israel shouldn't even exist. I'm not getting into that debate. Yes, I know Jews can live in peace if they're not political and follow ancient Judaism in Iran. I know all that. The point is, can't people get this? Israel's wrong. Iran's wrong. Turkey's wrong. America's wrong. Who's not wrong is Russia. They didn't start any of this. Syria didn't start any of this. And they say they want to take down Syria before they take down Iran because Syria might respond during an Iran attack. No, they're not. And they've given up their chemical weapons. So here's the big headlines. NATO boss Jens Stoltenberg said during a meeting of defense ministers in Brussels today that the alliance is prepared to send ground troops to protect Turkey border with Syria. That's their injection point of Al-Qaeda. And you can read the official tweet he put out. It's all up on Infowars.com. It is just absolutely over the top crazy. Then that dovetails with this entire stack of news. Syria, backed by Russian jets, launches ground assault against rebels. The Syrian troops push north towards rebel-held towns and villages. The Russians have released video of that. Caught on tape, Russian warships are now launching 26 cruise missiles at ISIS targets. And then we have the footage of them actually hitting as well. Russia is ready to consider Iraq request for airstrikes against ISIS in Iraq, where they've been given an area by the United States to launch attacks into Syria. So they got bases all around trying to bring down Syria in a mass attack. And the Russians have walked in, they know, to a trap. But the Syrians have held folks off for 5 years, which shows they've got the moral high ground and they're dug in. And they know the military in the U.S. does not like what's happening. And it's very quietly let the Russians know they're doing everything they can to make sure this happens, that the Russians win. So there's a civil war inside our government with the real patriots that represent honor and decency against the neocons and the Obama people that are behind the entire Al-Qaeda operation. Alex Jones, broadcasting across the United States. It's been years since we've actually been on in the city of New York City. We're on there. They're already getting a great response. But I'm not going to announce that or push that for a couple weeks till a big rollout of that new station. And we've probably got like 15 new stations the last couple months that I need to promote, cut liners for, and come out and visit, too. I plan next year to start trying to visit every few months a couple stations so that we especially get out there to the bigger ones, but also get out there to some of our older affiliates. I want to visit some of the mom and pops that have been carrying us for 18 years, Dr. Wolf's stations in upstate New York, in Rochester, and in Buffalo. His son runs it now. Dr. Wolf passed years ago. We've got stations in places like, you know, Tennessee, like WBCR, about 17, 18 years, stuff like that. So I'm going to go to our biggest stations, but also to some of the oldest stations that are out there as well. I do intend to do that next year. Very, very exciting. This station in New York is big. It's one of the top stations. It's going to be big news. I'm just going to leave it at that. but very exciting that this broadcast is getting mainlined. And people like Matt Drudge have been essential in not caring if they get attacked. How dare you associate with Alex Jones? Ooh, you'll be demonized. The conspiracy theorist that said the financial collapse would probably start this winter a couple years ago, and he's dead on now. And the one that said that the Pope would call for world government, now he's done it. And the guy we're just covering reality here. We told you forced inoculations were coming. That's in the news. I'm going to get to that when we start the next hour. So it's all coming up. Before we go any further, we are offering three specials right now that are unprecedented. 10% off all of the ProPure G2 water filtration systems that cut out the glyphosates, the mercury, the fluoride. Go look at the studies for yourself, the side-by-side comparisons with leading competitors, the taste test with Austinites, the informational videos at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, that's InfoWarsStore.com. Or 888-253-3139. Also, you don't just get 10% off with promo code WATER. We always have that special running, or most of the time. You get free shipping. That's the big special. And yes, you're funding, you're shopping with us. We have to have it. You know, we have a money bomb, we have a big push, we bring in a bunch of capital, and then stuff slows down after that where we could actually get in a hole. Buy a Hillary for Prison t-shirt. Buy a mass murderers agree gun control work shirt. buy a socialism shirt where it shows a guy holding a gun to somebody's head, where it describes what socialism really is. Socialism equals a guy holding a gun to somebody's head to take their money. We've got hundreds of great shirts. We've got books. We've got videos. We've got high-quality, storable foods at the best prices. We got 10% off the InfoWars Select, powered by My Patriot Supply. We have their full spectrum, 10% off. InfoWarsStore.com, InfoWarsLife.com, or 888-253-3139. And we got 20% off Prostaguard and some other discounts on the nutraceuticals at InfoWarsLife.com. But your orders are essential. Thank you so much. We salute you and thank you. We'll be back with the second hour.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
I believe it's Kurt Nemo, one of our great writers, but he usually does the front page grabbing for InfoWars.com. This system is the opposite of a social compact. This is a construct or a contract for global extermination and slowly turning the lights off. Speaking of eugenics, speaking of global government. Again, I butchered that, so I'll read it again. I can't even read my own statements that just came out of my mind. This system is the opposite of a social compact or a social contract, I added. This is a contract for global extermination and slowly turning the lights off. And that is exactly what the New World Order is. Neo-feudalism, in the words of the UN Biological Diversity Assessment, 1996. Now, the one online is the summary. I went to UT and looked it up because I'd read in a New American magazine article that it talked about bringing back human sacrifice like the Aztecs and making a life about how humans are bad and breaking up the family and, you know, doing all this other weird stuff and turning humans against themselves. And sure enough, I went, looked it up, and there it was. And I've got copies of that in my film Road to Tyranny, you know, video I shot of the actual printout from the UN. I remember seeing quotes of David Rockefeller. The internet was around in 96, 97, but people hadn't put scans on it yet, you know, of a lot of things. Went down to the microfilm. We have footage of us in Endgame at the microfilm, at the microfiche. Run it through there. Pull up David Rockefeller and saying how great Mao Zedong was and how he supported that for China and the rest of the world and how he admired him. What a great experiment it was. The Chinese government says Mao killed 84 million people. Our government says 65, 66 million. Whatever. Give or take 20 million. Let's just say he killed 65 million people. I mean, I read mainline books about Mao, what they admit, that he would never bathe and would have sex with like 10 women a day. And enjoyed the fact he would just go through villages and demand, point out the women he wanted. And he liked the fact that he stunk so bad. I mean, I don't want to get into details, but this is who socialists worship. Their religion is dumping drain cleaner, Drano, or other brands in their eyes and having you pay for it. They're coming. They mean business. Caitlyn Jenner is stunning and beautiful and is the most honorable, courageous person on earth. It's not Audie Murphy. It's not George Washington. It's not Jesus Christ who gave his life to transcend for others. It's not Mahatma Gandhi. It's not Martin Luther King. It's Caitlyn Jenner. The stunning, stunning hero. And Kanye West and all these stupid stunt artists. I mean, who cares? Kanye West, his stupid wife, his stupid dad, all these stupid people. I mean, I'm going to throw up. This is the false culture. They just vomit all over us with a stench and then go, oh, it's so good. I mean, they could have a trendy go out and run ice picks in their eyes and take their tongue and slice it off and just slit their, and just go, ah. And the liberals would go, ah, we worship you, you are a god, ah. Or like have some like pot-bellied pedophile stumbling around, you know, going, oh, my gosh, it's so wonderful. And everybody would fall down and worship it. I mean, I just can't take it anymore. It's so alien. It's so sick. It's so degenerate. Listen to that guitar. That is so good. Let's just crank that up for a moment. Da-da-da. Da-da-da. Da-da-da-da-da. We'll be back. I'm going to get into Greenwald. Obama cannot simply apologize for committing war crimes. Hillary now's flip-flop on Obama trade and more.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Infowars.com. Evidence points directly. Evidence shows Clinton ran a parallel outsourced State Department. Clinton received help from George Soros to run shadow government. And that's what Tosh Plumlee almost 3 years ago said on this show, and the Justice Department threatened to indict him. High-level whistleblower, CIA contractor who retired after he came on the show. He said they used the State Department as the cutout to get around federal law because she could remove the export or import ban on anything. Radioactive materials, heavy weapons, aircraft, missiles, components, diagrams, designs, blueprints, the goods. And when you look, it's Tony Blair, it's Clinton. Wayne Madsen breaks it all down. He's joining us in the third hour, investigative journalist, working for Infowars.com. The story is very important. It needs to go viral. It needs to go viral now. Also breaking, this is from DrudgeReport.com. This just happened about 20 minutes ago. Republican mess. Now McCarthy drops out. He was the direct minion, of course, of John Boehner. And Walter Jones and Congressman Webster and others are leading the fight not to have an establishment person be the new Speaker of the House, not another rhino, another neocon. And they've got headlines all over the country saying, will Matt Drudge go after Mitch McConnell, the leader of the Senate, next? So it's on. They know that real conservatives, real libertarians are done with these people. House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy has pulled out of the race for House Speaker, throwing further doubt on congressional leadership ahead of a crucial budget negotiations. Well, they just keep upping the debt, so why does that even matter? If we don't get good people in, it's like, hurry up, put an establishment guy in. It makes you look dumb. Don't have a fight over the speakership, because they want to get another rhino in there who will give Obama and the globalists all the political cover they need to keep Obamacare in place, to keep the borders open, to get the gun control through. They are so scared of a Tea Party takeover of the entire House and maybe even the Senate. And we're inches away. 69% of Hispanics don't want open borders, and they sell it like it's racist. I mean, every country's got to have borders. We're the most open in the world. But they spin it like, you know, this new Joe Biden video where he's meeting with a Hispanic group and he goes, it's horrible how you're getting kicked around and abused by the racist people in the Republican Party. I mean, give me a break. Imagine if I showed up in Mexico City and went, I'm here for my free welfare and I'm here for my free health care, and you better give it to me because you're racist if you don't. People would laugh at me. Go, man, we got our own lives and bills to pay. We can't take care of you. And I always see these leftist comments on Facebook whenever I'm opposing open borders from the Middle East into Europe and the United States. They go, well, why are you Republicans for all these wars then? I was against those wars. I'm a libertarian. I was against Bush. Pat Buchanan was too. In fact, almost half of conservatives and libertarians, well, more than half of libertarians, but almost half of conservatives were. And then after the war turned out to be a fraud, most of them were. But that isn't the debate here. Just because we did something wrong before doesn't mean we do something wrong now. And notice how Obama has totally destabilized the Middle East and invaded a bunch of countries as well. I don't make that a partisan issue. It's a globalist issue. They control both parties. And this is about changing that so they don't control both parties. A lot of these Democrats hate the Tea Party. Don't you see that both political parties are after it? Don't you see the big money is given 10 to 1 against it? It's because the Tea Party is constitutionalist. The Tea Party's for low taxes, sovereignty, and guns, and pro-life. The globalists are pro-death. The globalists want to control society. The globalists want a top-down system. They don't want a free market. And the ideas that are left over in the Tea Party, though imperfect, are the stuff of America, the stuff of freedom, the stuff of prosperity, the stuff of liberty. And that's why they're desperate, by controlling the Republicans, to keep us down. And we're attacking at their weakest point, the Republican Party, to take that thing over. Because it's been the loyal opposition that at least acts like it's there to fend off the crazy Democrats. The Democrats aren't crazy. They're rulers. They've got many times on average more money. I think in the Senate the numbers are, they did a national study a couple years ago, the average Democrat in the Senate has 6 times the money of the average Republican, and the average Democrat in the House has 3+ times. I mean, folks, these people are billionaires and hundreds of millionaires and gangsters. And, I mean, it's like Nancy Pelosi's husband, you know, gets huge contracts for nanotech and biotech, billions of taxpayer money. I mean, it is just, they are screwing people over left and right. And same thing with Barbara Boxer and Dianne Feinstein. I mean, Harry Reid and his sons. He's got like a whole, he's got more sons than a cockroach has. And they just all run giant companies and just grab government yummies. I mean, it's just a huge feeding frenzy. While they sit around talking about poor people all day, I'm going to throw up. Absolutely throw up. The Democrats are the filth. The Democrats are the globalists. The Democrats are the top of the pyramid. The Democrats run the show. The Democrats know where the bodies are buried. The Democrats run the race politics. The Democrats created the Ku Klux Klan. The Democrats funded Hitler. The Democrats are pure trash. You want me to keep going? And the Republicans are like the mutated little evil Igor that waddles around and going, yes, master, yes. Now, there's a, for the first time, half of members of Congress are millionaires. Democrats worth more than Republicans. And that's a story out of AllGov, everything our government really does. I don't know what source that is, but I don't know how much they claim the numbers are, but I've seen those. Look at the hysteria, though. The wicked flee when none pursue. SWAT team descends on school over students' Halloween costume. You know, or over backfires, but, you know, Al-Qaeda coming in over the southern border is no problem. Sanctuary cities now 340 developing. 9,295 illegals released from jail. 6,460 still at large. Well, that's got to be like in a week or something. It's hundreds of thousands a year. Cubans flood USA. Drone bursts into flames over quiet Hampton Street. Psychic robot can guess your intentions. These are Drudge headlines. Google brain rot, third of adults search without remembering answer. Death ray gun knocks out drones from a mile away. School locked down multiple times over third grader terrorizing building. Police are called when he screams. Oh, my gosh. I mean, this is just ridiculous. I think the new American flag should be a woman pouring Drano in her eyes and saying, and the word trendy, with a little guy with a mustache smiling. And let me be clear, I'm not against mustaches. It's just, I'm just saying that's kind of the symbol for whatever reason. Because as long as you got Drano in the eyes and a little mustache, everything's fine, excuse me. Oh, my gosh. Okay, I'm already getting a little bit batty here because this news is so over the top. Before I get into New Zealand confirms that TPP would extend copyright terms in many countries, block U.S. plans to reduce terms. Before I get into the really big news, the next segment, mandatory vaccinations don't violate children's constitutional rights, Supreme Court says, and how huge an ultra-massive development that is, I thought I would get to the White House apologizing about the drone strike that killed a bunch of Doctors Without Borders. In my experience, Doctors Without Borders is a, not all of them, but a goodly portion is basically an intelligence front. And it looks like the Afghan government knew that a bunch of Al-Qaeda people were in and out of there and basically called a strike in on where they thought they were at. Because if you want to take out Al-Qaeda, I mean, you do want to hit Turkish bases on the border with Syria. You want to hit Israeli bases right there. I'm not saying hit them myself. I'm just saying that's where Al-Qaeda is. And then over in Afghanistan and Central Asia, it's the same story. I don't think we'll ever know what really happened with this situation. But Greenwald says Obama cannot simply apologize for committing war crimes, completely lacking in all credibility. And I agree. So that's a more, you know, liberal I can respect because he actually stands up against Obama's open militaristic fascism. Let's go ahead and go to that clip. That is a stunning clip, is it not, of the White House apologizing.
This morning from the Oval Office, President Obama spoke by telephone with Doctors Without Borders International President Dr. Joanne Liu to apologize and express his condolences for the MSF staff and patients who were killed and injured when a U.S. military airstrike mistakenly struck an MSF field hospital in Kunduz, Afghanistan over the weekend. The president assured Dr. Liu that the Department of Defense investigation currently underway would provide a transparent, thorough, and objective accounting of the facts.
And pigs fly.
And circumstances of the incident.
An Easter Bunny's
attack.
And
if necessary, the president would implement changes that would make tragedies like this one less likely to occur in the future. After completing that call, the president telephoned Afghan President Ashraf Ghani to express his condolences for the innocent loss of life in that incident. The president commended the bravery of Afghan national defense and security.
All right, we're going to go to break. But see, now the president's above the law when they commit war crimes. He, if he chooses, he might make some changes. See, because no one can review him. He's God. The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a child to steal. The CPS was in a bind. He was way behind.
The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sewing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now, you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul because I think I'm better than you." The boy said, "My name's
that
Johnny,
is the great Charlie Daniels, a listener of the show, a guest of the show, another patriot fighting the globalist, making documentary films, exposing Agenda 21. Didn't he just have like his 80th birthday or something? But if you lose, the devil gets your soul. Some good stuff. Now, I will tell you, what is not good stuff is this. This happened on Tuesday, and I was not aware of it till Wednesday because listeners were commenting on an InfoWars story, and I go into there looking for news tips, and they were like, "I wish InfoWars would cover this." Well, thank you, because we're not perfect. Again, we miss a lot of stuff. So much is happening. This is so big. And sure enough, I followed the links. I found the Associated Press. I found Reuters. I found KQED News. Here are the headlines. Supreme Court says mandatory vaccinations don't violate children's constitutional rights. The U.S. Supreme Court has refused to hear a case challenging the state of New York's public school vaccination requirement, which requires all children to be vaccinated prior to attendance at public school. The failure of the Supreme Court to hear the case effectively states that mandatory vaccine of all public school children doesn't violate their constitutional rights, because that's what the lower court said. Now, let's talk about what this really means. 30, 40 years ago, there were maybe 7, 8 vaccines they really pushed and tried to claim were mandatory when there was no law, but they would lie and say there was. Then they had regulations passed to have vaccine exemptions for conscientious objection, religious, or medical. And some states have them all, some only have 2, some now only have 1 or none. True forced inoculation. Now there's about 54 vaccines that they're, on average, in states, lying and saying is the law, and you must take it through the health departments, advising the schools, the colleges, the hospitals, and now the private businesses. They're now trying to say, if you work in food preparation, you got to take it. One of the articles I meant to send you guys, and I didn't, was flu vaccine increases flu risk. It's Mercola with a link to ABC News with the headline. Because I meant to have that in the stack to show folks. Then they lie to you and say it's safe and effective and hand out fact sheets at major pharmacies or at big school inoculation events before school in August, where they get on the news and say it's the law, take it, don't let your kid die, safe and effective, and they hand out a fact sheet saying safe and effective, you might have some swelling at the injection site, but there are no side effects. The actual sheet that comes with the MMR, the flu, you name it, hepatitis, the list goes on and on, admits that it can kill you, give you neurological disorders, give you cancer, cause Guillain-Barre's, the list goes on and on. And then they've never chosen a flu vaccine that was the right mutation. They've never. And ABC News reported back during the H1N1 that it doubled your chances. We'll put it back on screen. You just found it. Double your chances. New study confirms flu vaccine really does increase your risk of serious pandemic flu vaccine. And that's the Canadian government. Now, we already knew that and had virologists on and guests on to break that down. But it is a giant hoax. Then I've got the articles here. I was looking for stuff from 96. I didn't even know. I knew 96 and 2000 it had come out in the news. I didn't even know that there was a new article a month ago out of mainstream news, a bunch of them, in Kenya, where MD medical doctors with the Catholic Church, by the way, who are real Catholics, went and tested the tetanus shots again, and guess what? They had the hormone added to sterilize women during the second trimester. So DNA vaccine sterilizes mice, could lead to one-shot birth control. Remember that story this week? And what do they use to do it? What do they use? They use the GnRH blocker, and then now you can go find the article, Mass Sterilization, Kenyan Doctors Find Anti-Fertility Agent in UN Tetanus Vaccines, the exact same hormone. So you go ahead and take your shots, folks. The point is they're coming with weapons to attack us. This is physical assault.
Alex Jones,
this is line in the sand, folks. You have a right to defend yourself.
Now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance.
I'm your host, Alex Jones. We are live here Monday through Friday, Lord willing, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central. We return, of course, weeknights, 7 o'clock Central, with the hour-long InfoWars Nightly News with myself and the rest of the amazing crew like Jakari Jackson, Leanne McAdoo, Rob Dude, Darren McBreen, David Knight, and so many others like John Bound, the great writers, the reporters, Kit Daniels, Adon Salazar, Mikhail Phelan. I know I'm leaving people out here. Kurt Nemo, Paul Watson. Paul Watson is on a plane. I would guess he probably has just now gotten over the continental United States, coming in over the north from England. I'd imagine he's about over Maine right now. And he'll be landing in Austin in about 3.5 hours. And so he'll be in studio with us tomorrow. He'll be on the nightly news all through next week with us in studio. Really, really do look forward to having Paul Joseph Watson here at The Calm. We, of course, also have the Sunday broadcast that will be live. I'll be hosting it this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. And we will have our reporters, Jakari Jackson, and, of course, Josh Owens and Joe Biggs in Oregon, in Roseburg, covering the president vampirically, trying to suck the Second Amendment out of the American people on the backs of the people sacrificed by another Democrat, anti-Christian mental patient. Because the new fetish is, you know, cut your arms and legs off, go mass shoot people, pour Drano in your eyes, you know, just be hateful, be destructive. It's the goblin creatures that serve Obama. He also has a lot of well-meaning idiots that follow him around as well, just like the establishment Republicans do. McCarthy, who it seemed invincible, he would be the new Speaker of the House, the aide-de-camp, the man who would be there. He now has gotten out of the race. Of course, Boehner says he'll leave at the end of this month. Admits he stayed to defeat a leadership battle to keep one of his neocon rhino creatures from getting in. And a battalion of patriots in the House have been able to really have a big effect. I wasn't seriously saying it's a battalion strong, but there are legions of patriots behind them. I would say there might be in the House half a platoon of patriots. You know, maybe 50 good people is what Jones is saying, but that's enough in a leadership battle to force the Democrats to openly endorse a neocon, which then just wakes up conservatives and libertarians even more. Until a little bit in the next hour, we're going to get Larry Nichols, the consummate Clinton insider's take on this whole situation. He would have joined us Tuesday when Matt Drudge showed up, but he was in the hospital. He definitely needs your prayers and support. But he has been really calling it like it is with Hillary, saying that she'd use the underdog status, would come out roaring soon. She's now done that. We're going to talk to Larry Nichols here in just a moment. But before we do that, I want to do more than just thank you for financially supporting this broadcast. It's very expensive to fund 50-plus people, a bunch of reporters, camera folks, engineers, the equipment, the bandwidth cost, the building cost, the electricity, the payroll, just all of it. It goes on and on. And we've built a one-of-a-kind operation, so it's very special, and it really belongs to everybody. That's why I include all these other guests, all these other hosts, all these other people, is it's bigger than Alex Jones. This is really a precious brain trust. As Matt Drudge said, and he knows media more than anybody. Even mainstream media admits this guy's got his finger on the zeitgeist. And he said everywhere he goes, it's a chain reaction of people listening to the show. I talked to station owners that are putting us on big stations now. And they go, well, I guess what you've said has been proven true. I thought it was crazy 10 years ago. And people now want to hear you. And everybody I talk to knows you. And so we're putting you on. And we've seen you've gotten good ratings in cities on small stations up against big ones, so we'll see what you do on a big one. But does that really say, oh, great, everybody's waking up? It kind of says how far down the rat hole we are. But the money bomb was a victory, I guess, to raise $1 million. We did some of the breakdowns of real costs, a little bit under $1 million now. But that sounds like a lot. It's not. Just the satellite for TV that we're now getting on some stations is about $400,000 a year, closed captioning, $100,000. That's federal law. We have to do that. And then all the rest of it, other equipment, other. It's just $1 million just allowed us to comfortably do that, we think, safely. But then if sales go down the next 2 weeks, people don't buy the Nation I.X2, they don't buy the water filters, they don't buy the storable foods, then we don't continue with what we normally need just to fund the operation. So we have the very best vetted products from my research and my belief. I bring you what I use, whether it's G2 filters from ProPure, 10% off with free shipping right now till next Wednesday, Prostagard, the strongest. I mean, it really is. Everything that's known to be good for your prostate, organic, concentrated. I mean, it costs like $19 to get a bottle of Saw Palmetto like this. This has the same dose as a leading competitor with a whole bunch of other stuff in it that's known to be good. So InfoWarsLife.com, 20% off on that. And then 10% off. We have the introductory special. This is not as good as that, but it's close. 10% off the My Patriot Supply InfoWars Select Foods and InfoWarsStore.com. Their full spectrum of freshly packed latest food from their factory. High quality, clean, last 25 years. You can get 10% off the already lowest price. That is a giant discount. InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139. And if you want your survival shield, Nation Iodine, it will sell out any day. And then it'll be 3 to 4 weeks before we get more of the game-changing good halogen. There's a lot of folks pushing iodine now. Nobody did before we did. And saying they've got this, they've got that. Well, you know what? I would have already been selling that. I'd be selling 10 different types. There, no one that we know of has deep earth crystal source that turns bright blue, purple on paper, not red. The real iodine's purple, folks. Okay? I mean, the stuff we get so pure, we have to go through the DEA to get it. Because if you get the raw stuff, you can do a lot of things with it. I'll leave it at that. Not with the bottles you buy from us. But major hoops have to be jumped through to get this. Other folks get it from seaweed, and it's not the same thing. This stuff, your body doesn't have to break it down. Boom, into the blood. And talk to a physician first, because I took this stuff for 3 weeks, went through major detox a couple years ago, and people calling going, whoa, you're not kidding, and he has like a 4.8 review. I mean, all of a sudden this stuff comes out, it's coming out of your skin, at least in my experience. The liver cleanse is back in. That was sold out for 3 months. Liver Shield is back in, InfoWarsLife.com, and your purchase makes this whole broadcast possible. Finally, spread the word about every AM and FM station you're listening to and become a sponsor or support their sponsors and thank the station managers as well. And just don't tell friends and family or your coworkers. Tell people at red lights at the checkout counter. This is what it's all about. Okay, let's go ahead now and go to Larry Nichols, who was inside the Clinton crime operation, helped him get elected governor, but wouldn't be part of the MENA, Arkansas cocaine dealing that we've had multiple guests on about that even came out in mainstream news. Wouldn't be part of the murder of children. Hit his knees, repented like Saul of Tarsus, had that come to Jesus moment, and it was part of the Clinton Chronicles 1 and 2. We put out a free video called The New Clinton Chronicles 2015, where we went up and interviewed him. He needs your prayers. He needs your support. Larry, I don't want to keep you too long today because I know you just got out of the hospital. Do you want to go ahead and just square up with folks and tell them the situation you're in, or you want to just move on and not talk about it?
Hey, let me tell you, Alex, I wish I would have heard you earlier this week. I was told, not to get off the subject, I was told that with my lung situation, I needed to get the pneumonia shot and the flu shot. So I got them. I just spent 4 days in the hospital and nearly died.
I didn't even know that. My God.
Yeah. Just, you know, folks, please beware about that stuff. Don't fall into that thing that it's a, they say it was a dead virus, that it couldn't hurt you. Yeah, well, let me tell you, it hurt me. Now, Alex, I got
news. I mean, Larry, as you know, doctors until 5 years ago would always say a sick patient with cancer or a pregnant woman should never take a vaccine. Now they more aggressively push it because they don't want anyone to ever think it might be bad. So instead they go, no, no, pregnant women need 2 flu shots.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
They told me I needed 2, but I just got the one of them with the pneumonia shot.
Well, tell folks what happened to you. I mean, you want to share?
My lung collapsed. I just went in and I dehydrated. Everything in my body left. And it took 4 days in intensive care just to get here today. Now, I'm here today because, Alex, I'm telling you, it's happening. It's happening fast. Remember what I told you about a month ago? I said, watch for Biden. Well, here's what's going on, folks. Barack Hussein Obama is taking Hillary out. They're getting rid of her. Why? Because remember, to pull off the FEMA provisional government, you've got to get the president and both houses of Congress have got to agree that there's a state of national crisis. Bill and Hillary Clinton are the only ones that have enough power to go around and stop congressmen and senators from voting that away. So Obama now has put Biden out there, and he's going around directly. I found out from a very high person just yesterday, somebody very high in the former RNC, used to be a chairman, by the way, and he's sitting down. Al Sharpton is going into 5 or 6 major cities, and they're hiring paid harassers. Paid harassers. Now, why is that? Remember, all it takes to trigger a FEMA crisis, Alex, is 4 or 5 cities that break out all at one time. You know, Black Lives Matter, whatever you want to call it. And when that happens, then the people in the communities are going to panic because there's law enforcement's not going to be able to
handle it. Sure, this is how Soros just brought down Ukraine, playing off 2 different groups against each other.
There you go.
Catholics off against Russians, Westerners off against Orthodox. And you can see Soros funding in here. It's on record.
It's on the record. It's happening. Now, Alex, remember all those years that you talked about the FEMA camps and everybody called you crazy, called us crazy? Well, they're going to call us crazy again. But you better get ready, folks. Barack Hussein Obama is no more planning to leave the White House than I plan to be a duck. Matter of fact, I'll probably be a duck before he leaves the White House. He is doing everything in his power. He is setting up his circle of power. Now, remember when I told you Netanyahu? What Netanyahu told me? Benjamin Netanyahu told me that as a part of the Iranian deal, that Obama was setting up what? They were negotiating what?
With
ISIS. Yeah. They were setting up a unified Islam, a unified caliphate. What did we hear today? The Russians are bombing our guys. The Russians are actually bombing our guys. Now, our guys consist of 9 people that we spent $500 million to train to fight ISIS. Alex, everything is moving towards Islam, but I got a story to scare you to death. Now, you and I are going to have to talk off air because people's lives are literally at risk. Just got this. Friend of mine in California, friend of yours, by the way, in California knows a person that details cars, has a big detail operation, and he details for the major car dealers in California. Let's just leave it there. He was detailing one, and it for a Pakistani dealer owner that owns 3 major dealerships. And when he was cleaning the car, he opened up the glove box, and out fell an ISIS flag. Now, folks, that black flag is a war flag. Do you hear me? That's a war flag. That's not a, we're proud to be a Muslim. That's not what that is.
Oh, that's we're conquering you, we're going to chop your head off flag. It's a war flag.
That's right.
It's a Wahhabist Al-Qaeda flag.
Alex, that literally happened yesterday. Yesterday. And with your permission, I'd like to explore it a little more. The problem is with our government, it's risky. It's risky for the people that saw it. You know that. There's that flag right there. It's dangerous. But they're here now, Alex. They're here now. And Obama is working to set us up as a caliphate under Islam.
Let me continue. Look at how they've used Europe with the French president saying, we're under an emergency. This is total war. Give us emergency powers to stop the influx of immigrants that they advertised to come in. They're doing the same thing here. It's destabilizing on purpose so they can seize power. And now even The Guardian's reporting total financial collapse coming this winter.
And did you see today where the Prime Minister of England finally came out and said, Islam's bad. Islam's bad. I mean, he literally came out and said it, yet our president refuses to. refuses to. So, Alex, I'm going to say this. We're in more danger, and I'm not hysterical. I'm not an alarmist. I'm not a conspiracy nut. I think if you look, Alex, pound for pound, you know this, I hope. Well, you had Matt Drudge. Matt will tell you. Pound for pound, look at the stuff I've said over the years, and look what of it's come true.
I'm we were talking about you at dinner, and he said, what's old's new? Absolutely.
Yeah. And look, guys, I'm trying to tell you the truth. This is my country, and I love it dearly, and I'm trying to do everything I can to save it. As a matter of fact, Sal, I made a video called States' Rights. The only way we're going to save this country is with states' rights, and people can get it right here. It's the only other video I've ever done. I don't do videos, but this
in
is...
In fact, I wanted to have you on separately about that, but we're going to break. Come back and tell us about that. You're absolutely right. We've got to take the states back and say no to what's coming, and people being aware is the key. And I want to ask you, how big a deal is it the Republicans kicked out Boehner? They're now kicking out McCarthy. I mean, there is a pushback. This is good news. And it's not the word for Hillary or Obama, but clearly you said months ago that it's Obama going after Hillary. Look for Biden to get in. That means that they're taking her out. And you're saying more evidence of that is now mounting. So who's worse, a Hillary or an Obama? We'll talk about it all straight ahead. I just do not know what's worse of those two. It's like cancer or being hit by a Mack truck.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show. Because there's a war on for your mind.
Is our guest, and he, of course, wrote a book, The Genie's Out of the Bottle. He's put out a new film detailing states' rights. He is also battling cancer right now. You heard him say that after he got shots at the hospital, pushes on you when you're in there, that it almost killed him. Almost killed my mother, almost killed my uncle. My grandmother got polio 1 month after she took it. She's 90 years old right now, but has been on crutches since the 50s when my mother was 4 years old. Just everyone I know has been maimed by vaccines. And they go, there's no side effects. Everything's fine. Larry Nichols will be with us 15 minutes in the next hour. And then we've got Wayne Madsen on huge Hillary Clinton news joining us. Evidence suggests Clinton ran a parallel outsourced State Department. That was the headline this morning. I changed it to evidence shows Clinton ran a parallel outsourced State Department. But regardless, there is a war between these two groups going on right now. Larry Nichols, tell folks how they get this new film, and that'll also support you and what you're doing, because you deserve support.
Alex, it's go to statesrights.video, states right, plural, statesrights, one word, statesrights.video, and I guess it'll be up here on your network. But now, guys, I'm telling you, the only way we're going to stop this is through states' rights. And some states got to move and got to move now. You ask an interesting question, Alex, before the break. Which is worse, Hillary or Obama? Let me tell you, we can stop Hillary. Obama pulls off separating us, we're dead. We're dead. Once they divide us up under the FEMA provisional, it's over, buddy. It's over. You know, Alex, I see every day, I got three people today told me they have turned off their television and all they watch is Alex Jones program. So, buddy, whether you want it or not, you're in the firing line. And I'm sorry. I don't think it's a nice place to be right now. We're playing against some tough characters, very tough. But you better believe Obama wants this country. Obama wants a unified Islam. And he's working every day to get it. And we're a caliphate. That's all we are to him. We are a caliphate. And you got to realize someday, excuse Ralph, someday, you know, you and I can sit in and tell people exactly what is involved in a FEMA provisional government. But basically what it is, it's martial law. And you've been talking about these camps they've been putting up for years.
And now Hillary talks about fun camps for men, and the Army admits re-education centers. They even use the term re-education centers.
Well, the only re-education they're going to do is to eliminate people that still believe in America. So I ask everybody, do yourself a favor. There's a trailer. You can watch the trailer for the video, but please get it and pass it around. We've got to get, Alex, one state. One state has got to stand up. We've got to get one governor
to stand
up.
They think it's Texas. They think it's Texas, and that's why they've indicted the attorney general and want to indict Governor Abbott, the Democrats, right now.
You bet. Well, if it is, problem Texas has got to be, quite honest. They've got too many Mexicans. I don't know that you could get a majority of Americans in Mexico. I mean, in Texas. But
yeah, but
I'll take any state.
But the illegals aren't all voting. Here's the thing. The illegals aren't all voting for the Democrats. And I don't think that the average Mexican wants to be a socialist. So,
well, at this point, Alex, you and I have got to say the craziest thing you and I will probably ever say in our lifetime. Between Hillary and Obama, we got to be for Hillary. With Hillary, we have time to save the country.
Hold on.
With
Obama, I hear this.
We don't.
I don't know. Caliphate's looking pretty good. I'm joking. What? I tell you, you talk about crazy. Yeah, boy, I tell you. Larry Nichols is our guest.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
While we're talking about all this bad stuff, there's some cool stuff. Blue skies on Pluto. NASA New Horizons probe spots gorgeous vistas on icy dwarf planet. You know, Larry, getting into demographics, I know that you ran the Democratic Party strategy of breaking America up into different racial groups, and it's not that you are bashing Hispanics or Mexicans from Mexico. You're just simply saying a lot of them end up voting Democrat, and then they end up voting illegally because the Democrats are there posing as their buddies. The good news is Gallup shows like 69% of Hispanics, whether they be legal, illegal, citizens, whatever, don't want open borders, and get we can't take all of Latin America. So I've found that at least the feds think Texas is a big problem for them, at least in the short term, and have a lot of Pentagon plans written up for that. During even what the John Warner Defense Authorization Act wrote about in 2007 about stopping insurrection of the states. So when you talk about FEMA, COG, continuity of government systems, that's all being warmed up right now. It's being taken out of mothballs. It's being turned on. I'm not saying they're about to do this, but they certainly are mainlining it and going, yeah, army.mil, we got re-education camps. We're going to put political problem people in them and re-educate them. So it actually uses the word re-education, which you know is a Soviet term. Why would they so nakedly talk about things like this if they weren't getting ready to green light it?
Well, and if you notice in the material that they're passing out, Alex, for for these Muslims that they're bringing in from Syria, you'll notice in all their literature, they're saying you're not to assimilate, you're to grow. Now, what does that mean? They don't want them to assimilate into our culture. They want to grow. They want their culture to grow and eventually take over ours. Guys, I'm telling you, Alex, we've got a serious problem. This is not a, you know, it's scary. Let's all get together and scare each other. This is the truth.
No. I used to hear this from Lynn Beck like 5-6 years ago and others, and I would roll my eyes or Levin. But I see the literature. I see what the government's doing. They want us all fighting with each other. And what's a better way to bring in foreign groups, fill them full of hate of America, and then give them a bunch of free welfare? I mean, it's certainly going on.
It is indeed. And, Alex, the front line's going to be here with us. You know, one of the things I promise you, I will get involved in that story with the ISIS car dealers. Don't worry. I will get in that. I don't care what it costs me and what it involves, but I will get to the truth of that. The problem is, who do you call? Let me ask you, Alex, let's say you found in your neighborhood, in your community, let's say you found a car from a rich, wealthy car dealer, and in it was the war flag for ISIS. Who would you call?
Well, I would shoot video of it and then do an undercover report showing, and then I would confront the person asking, hey, what's this? So it couldn't be denied, and I'd put it on YouTube.
Well, that may be what we end up doing with this, because that may be the only thing we can do, because we certainly can't go to the government. The government's not going to do a thing about it. But I will provide that for you, Alex. I'll get that for you. It's going to be a little risky, a little dangerous, but they're here now. They're here now, and then bringing in 85,000 more of them, that is absolutely insane.
Well, we know that most of the so-called Syrian refugees are Wahhabists out of other countries. Upwards of 85% are men, and they are, ISIS said 6 months ago, we'll infiltrate Europe and the U.S. with a 500,000-person immigrant wave. It's actually been much bigger than that. They're saying that's what. Most of them, 2 out of 3 have fake passports. It is military-age men coming in. And so if they do attack, or they're ordered to attack by the globalists, they will then use that as a pretext to take over.
Absolutely. And you know, this weekend they caught, what, 6 of them carrying in, smuggling low-grade uranium? They caught them smuggling low-grade.
Why are you racist
uranium
against that? I mean,
gosh, I don't know. I'm sorry. I just thought that might just blow us up, make a dirty bomb. I'm telling you, these people are coming to kill us. And what upsets me,
stay there.
Alex,
stay right there. We'll be back.
We are on the march. The Empire is on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Stage Rights.video is where you can find the new film that Larry Nichols is in, breaking down a way to take the country back via the states. I wrote an article that Drudge linked to that went real viral, and I was proud of the fact that a lot of constitutional lawyers came on the broadcast and said, no, we've read your plan. It's actually what the founders talked about in the decade after the country was founded, because the country almost broke up a few times then, that they could just have the states, if the feds got out of control, pull out of the federal government and then reconstitute the federal government once it was back under control. So I'm not saying secede in Texas to become our own republic. I'm saying we need states to secede and go, look, we're seceding from an illegitimate occupied federal government run by foreign interests that's openly funding ISIS and Al-Qaeda and Al-Nusra, all the same group out of Saudi Arabia. And Saudi Arabia had denied that they were behind ISIS until the Russians started bombing them. And now Saudi Arabian government says, we're getting ready to attack the Russians. Now, Nichols, you know, says he talks to Netanyahu, and I believe him, he talks to a lot of people. And I know Israel claims they're fighting Al-Qaeda, but they've actually been backing rebels that are in the southern area of Syria bordering the Golan Heights. They can argue, well, those are non-radicals, but our Pentagon says, no, they're the same people. So it seems like the whole West is lined up to do this, and the world now knows about it. Larry Nichols, in the time we have left, the next 10 minutes or so, then we're going to go to break and come back with an investigative journalist who works for Infowars.com, Wayne Madsen. Biden is saying he better start getting his hat in the ring or he'll just end up being Secretary of State. That was a quote today, a joke, a jibe at Hillary. Obviously, from your sources, do you think Biden will run? You said if he does, clearly that's Obama going after Hillary. You were the first person I heard say that Obama was going after Hillary months ago. Now they admit that's happening. She's come out and, quote, flip-flopped to oppose Obama trade, the TPP that her and her husband helped ram through. Clinton moves left, opposes Obama's Pacific trade deal, making it leftist to be against trade. No, it's a secret global compact. So she's doing a lot of that. What do you make of that? And then how big a deal is it that the Republicans just shot down Boehner's aide de camp, his successor?
Well, that is a big deal because, as you know, Boehner and the boys, the hierarchy, have run the Republicans into the ground. Alex, here's where we are. here's where we are, and don't doubt it one second. Obama is getting in. This is Obama's time. He sees it. He's taking it. He's going to use he's going to use Biden simply to buy him the movements that he needs to negate Hillary. But the object is to negate Hillary. Remember, there's nothing in those documents, those Secret Service memos, that can hurt Hillary one bit. Everybody's going, oh, my God. Well, why did Hillary bring them out? Because they know, Alex, that if they were ever brought to court over those documents, Hillary would say, well, I've got to have the documents to defend myself. And the judge would say, well, you can't, because those are classified and top secret. So they can't be used. She can't be prosecuted on it. That's nothing. But Obama bringing the FBI in, that's something. He's going after Hillary, and he's going after Hillary to strip her power. Now, here's what I'm going to do. If you got enough guts to do it, I'm going to get that video of that car dealer. I ain't got that much time anyway, but they're going to come after you. I'll get you that video of the car dealer with the ISIS flag. But we've got to do something to show the people that they are here, and they're here in very precarious situations. Do you realize how much money a car dealership selling used cars can float around? I mean, millions and millions of dollars cash that they can move around all over this country. And then I will bring you evidence of Sharpton going and paying hired activists in major cities. Let's see how he explains his ass out of that one. That's what we got to do.
Well, we know Sharpton's been doing that before, and we know Soros spent $33 million just in one town to stir it up. I mean, that's pretty much admitted. But, yeah, you say you've got him red-handed doing it right now?
Red-handed doing it now, and I got something else. I got both parties, RNC and the DNC. They're setting up rooms right now. They call them war rooms, and what they're doing is they're lining up all the illegal Mexicans that are going to have driver's license, and they're setting up absentee voting companies for them.
Well, that's admitted that both parties are engaged in that. It is just absolutely ridiculous.
Well, you see what that does? That makes us irrelevant. That makes us irrelevant. They can literally bring in 30, 40 million new people, and we become irrelevant unless we stop it. And the way to stop it, I hate to say it, there's only one way to stop it. One governor can say to the federal government, when a federal black robe mob judge says something to him, he just says, hey, I'm not coming to your court. I'm not coming to your court. You or I can't. They'll put us in jail, but they can't put a governor in jail.
Well, I know this. I remember, was it Lubbock or was it Midland, where the county judge, who's the elected city council person for the county, we just call it that in Texas, county judge, came out and said, well, I've been told they're getting ready for martial law at the end of Obama's next election. This was during the election a few years ago, and they're going to be coming for the guns, and we've got to have armored vehicles to fight the feds and the UN, and people thought that was pretty crazy. But I tell you, there are times in history when armies line up, when finances line up, when the stars align, when more happens than has ever happened before. Yeah, there it is in the New York Times. Official stirs Texas city with talk of rebellion, Lubbock, Texas.
And Alex, we're not asking a state to succeed. A state doesn't have to succeed. All a state has to do is reclaim its power. Our founding fathers gave us the answer to today. They were smart enough. They gave us the answer. You knew it back years ago. They gave us the answer. I talked to a Supreme Court justice. He says it stands. We have the answer. A state can say no. And when one state says no, I bet you a bunch of states will say no.
Again, Larry Nichols is our guest. He really does talk to the people he says he talks to. I know that I've been interviewing him for about 19 and a half years. I mean, I've been on air maybe 7-8 months when I first interviewed him. That is on radio. But I mean, I had Matt Drudge in here. He told me who it was face-to-face, what Supreme Court justice, even more of what he said off record. But here in studio, it made national news. He said, no, face-to-face, he told me, and he wouldn't believe whose house it was at, that they're going to shut down talk radio, internet, everything.
Right.
That they intend to do it, and they intend to take over. And the Supreme Court justices have been told, you better sit down and go along with it. I mean, what do you think it means when Matt Drudge, the biggest guy in media, when it comes down to one person, is at my office I mean, can you imagine the meeting, the three-hour meeting we had? I mean, people, this is real. That's all I can tell folks.
It's real. And remember, I helped Clarence Thomas with his little problem with Anita Hill. So,
well, don't say who it is. You just know
I'm just saying I helped him. And, you know, I'm just telling you guys, this is not a scare tactic. This is real. You know, Alex, they got to shut down this internet. They've got to shut it down. You know it, and I know it. And they've got to take Drudge out. And I'm sure that was part of the conversation you and Matt had. And I'm sure Matt told you how he got the story from me about Monica Lewinsky. Did he share that with
well,
you?
Well, we'd gone into a lot of stuff, but I can't get into a lot of it. I mean, as you know, all I'm saying is we are at a critical time in history right now.
We are. If you'll help me, I swear. If we'll get the people to help us, this is God's country. This is for everyone listening. It's not a fight for Alex Jones or Larry Nichols or Matt Drudge or somebody else. It's for all of us. You know, Alex, you think about all the people that got off those boats D-Day. Do you think they got off those boats for us to become this? I don't think so. I think they'd have stayed on the boat and said, hey, let's go someplace else. It's our turn. Let's stand up. Let's be Americans. Let's act like Americans. And let's take this country back. We can. We can do it.
Well, there's no doubt the move is being made to break the country up right now. In the strategy of division that you talked about, the broken, what's the exact name?
Broken coalition.
The broken coalition strategy, the divide and conquer, and that is exactly what's happening. And, you know, you say prop Hillary up, not to even help her, but just because that's what Obama doesn't want. Clearly he's going after her, and what a quandary, what a paradox, because I can't stand Hillary, but you can see Obama getting ready to take her down. I mean, how could we even help Hillary against Obama?
By having a state stand up and declare that the federal government's burning out of control and we're not going to take it anymore. That stops it all. That stops it all right there.
Do you think Hillary, though, if she gets the nomination, would win?
No, I'll stop that. I promise you this. Hillary will not be president of the United States. I'll stop her, and you know I will. But the bad news is I can't let Obama take her out, because if he takes her out, then I can't stop a caliphate. The Muslims will kill you. Hey, folks, let me tell you something. In case you're wondering, there is no such thing as a tame Muslim. There's not. At some point, Alex, every follower of Islam is going to come to where the rivers divide, and they got to either go to the Tigris or the Euphrates. And that means they either got to do what Allah says or go to Allah heaven or hell. I mean, it's that serious.
I got to say that radical Islam is taking over a lot of Muslim countries. Our government's funding it to create a clash of civilizations. But a lot of Muslims don't like the more oppressive sides of it.
That's
just
right.
Like in Christianity or anything. And I get what you're saying. You wouldn't call them, you know, a radical Muslim. But I certainly I didn't buy into this theory 5 years ago. Now, whatever it is, it's bad, and we shouldn't have to pay for all this, and it's very dangerous, and the globalists are going for broke. Thank you so much for the time, Larry. Get some rest. Don't take any more vaccines, and we look forward to talking to you again. I'll call you today when I get off the air, okay?
And next week, I will have you that video.
Worldwide from Austin, Texas. I'm your host, Alex Jones, Infowars.com reporter. Wayne Madsen joins us. He also has the WayneMadsenReport.com. And we are about to send him on some of his first missions as a reporter that we're not going to be announcing here on air yet, but he'll be covering election 2016 for us in D.C. And also on the campaign trail. He'll also be investigating shadow government operations and more. Now, going to Wayne Madsen, this is a short segment, long segment coming up. Before we get to his story evidence points towards Clinton running a parallel outsourced State Department. I want to do that in the next segment. I wanted to first look at Joe Biden, the race. Is Obama waging war on Hillary? What's the inside scuttlebutt on that? Wayne's take on the cruise missiles, the ground troops, NATO announcing it's going to put troops on the border with Syria. I mean, this is biblical level stuff we see building up. So a big overview on the election, on Hillary, on Syria, on the dollar with Wayne Madsen. I want to get your take on that, formerly with the National Security Agency. And, of course, it's written for some of the biggest newspapers in the country. Wayne, thank you for joining us.
Good to be with you, Alex.
Where to start? Hillary, Syria?
Well, of course, we have Hillary. Look, you know, President Obama has never really cared much for Hillary. You know, when he first got elected, it was a very bitter campaign in 08 between the two. Obama said, well, I believe in the big tent and I'll get all these people in my cabinet, many of them who ran against him. It should be recalled that Joe Biden was a candidate for president also in 2008. But I think one could argue whether that was a very good decision. You know, this is what Lincoln did, too. He brought in a cabinet of basically people that did not agree with one another. And how can you run a government with opposing views like that when you've got sort of a person who doesn't take a strong stand as president? So I am not surprised about Joe Biden planning to get into this race. I think he is going to be the basically the third term for Barack Obama, and Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton are basically seething about this prospect of a Biden candidacy.
How big's the Russia situation in Syria? It looks pretty dangerous.
That one is extremely volatile right now because you've got Russia deploying some of its most advanced electronic warfare platforms also in Syria. And I, as I wrote today on the website, in an electronic warfare battle between Russia and U.S. and NATO, the Russians will win and the U.S. and NATO will lose badly because NSA, which supplies a lot of the data for these radar warning systems and these jamming systems that are used by the U.S. and NATO, these databases are woefully out of date. Some of the information is 40 years old, believe it or not. And this is one of the reasons we have so many friendly fire incidents. For example, the attack on the Doctors Without Borders hospital in Kunduz in Afghanistan could have very well been as a result of faulty or old, outdated emitter data. Because we know what the frequencies are of all these pieces of equipment, even the radios used by the Taliban. And if it's not up to date, of course, mistakes or errors like that can happen.
So a lot of sophisticated equipment. What do you make of Russia moving into Syria with ground troops and aircraft openly? We know they've been there for a few years, but now they've got ships docking. Do you have any intel on Chinese reportedly being brought in?
Yeah, the Chinese and the Russians have similar fears to what's going on in Syria. What you have in Syria are entire communities now of ethnic Uyghurs from Western China. These are Muslim Chinese and Chechens and other Muslims from Central and the Caucasus region of Russia and Central Asian portion of Russia now setting up entire communities inside Syria. Many of these are in cities which were vacated by these refugees who fled to Turkey and now are inundating
Europe. But, I mean, isn't that politically correct to take Chinese Muslims, let them come to Syria and kill other Muslims and take over? I mean, it's okay. They're allowed to migrate and chop people's heads off. Absolutely. Folks are coming from all over the world to the new promised land, Syria, led by our government, to kill indigenous Muslims and Christians and take their property. And if you're not for it, you're Islamophobic. If you like to gamble,
the march, the empire is on
crank it up.
The run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
If you like to gamble, I tell you, I'm your man.
right, if you like to gamble, I tell you, I'm your man. You win some, lose some, it's all a game to me. 7 or 11, Snake Eyes watching you. Well, I don't gamble at casinos or with cards, but I will gamble for freedom. I will gamble my life. And in this game, I'm all in, doubling down, all the way committed. And that is a good feeling. Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central, we're here. Back 7 o'clock Central. By the way, I say 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. I am in such a habit of saying that. That's not true. Talk about habit and nobody correcting me. 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. we're live. The fourth hour that I did for about 4 or 5 years just burned me out. But a lot of stations kept carrying it. So they'd say, we're not going to carry your first hour. We're going to carry the second, third, and fourth. And so that would be a rebroadcast of the first hour. But some days I would still do part of it or all of it. And I'll still do that sometimes. Like yesterday, I stayed for 20 minutes into the fourth hour with Leanne McAdoo. We hear a lot of special reports. We get to a lot of news that's just broken. We get to a lot of deep analysis. And it gets hosted by Jakari Jackson, Leanne McAdoo, Joe Biggs, David Knight, Rob Dew, and others. Rob Dew has added a fourth member to the family. They had three sons, and now they have a baby girl. I want to congratulate him. That happened last week. So he'll be back in next week. They're not going along with the globalist depopulation agenda. That's four children in the Dew family now. So congratulations. I do envy you. I want number four as well and number five. Continuing, David Knight will be hosting the fourth hour. GOP leadership on the ropes. Now is the time to jump for the win. This is as big as the presidential election, folks. It's just ultra massive. Thyroid cancer in children skyrockets near Fukushima. And the Supreme Court says forced vaccines for children doesn't violate rights. Huge news on that front. Giant city being built by multinational defense contractor to war game against American people. I've got the article right here out of the Daily Mail. It's out in New Mexico. It's one of the places I want to send our reporters like Wayne Madsen. So that's all coming up. Security, transportation, surveillance technology, test bed. Super creepy when you go look at the details of that and more. So that is coming up with David Knight in the fourth hour. Paul Watson lands in about 2.5 hours, a reporter from Britannia. And then now Wayne Madsen is going to be basically a part-time because he's busy running his own Wayne Madsen Report, but he will be at least every month going on location, as I just said, and covering things with our reporters. He's doing that in just a few weeks with an unnamed story he's going to be working on. And he's also writing articles for Infowars.com. And that's why it's now more important than ever. I'm not going to risk my life fighting these people to play games. But I need the capital to get more high-quality reporters, investigative journalists, camera people, the men and women we need to fight this tyranny. And the only prerequisite is we get the funds and we find the personnel of every race, color, creed that love freedom to fight against the New World Order. So you talk about Big Tent, the InfoWar is it worldwide. But we're also not politically correct. We'll bring on all the different views so people can make their own decision about what's happening on this planet and this world. But we need you to go to InfoWarsStore.com and take advantage of super high-quality products at incredibly low prices. Three specials running until next Wednesday. 20% off Prostaguard. Liver Shield and the whole liver cleanse is back in. We've got 10% off with free shipping on the water filtration systems at InfoWarsStore.com. We've got 10% off InfoWars Select, powered by My Patriot Supply. It's just private label My Patriot. We private label it. We can offer bigger discounts than they can. And we have their food, the exact same packages, just different labels, right by it for sale on the site as well. Their best deals every week updated. 6 month, 1 year, fruit and veggie snack mix, mega protein kits, the 72-hour kit, 2 year supplies, 3 year supplies. This is the best quality I could find with the lowest price, with that conjunction of low price, high quality, freshness, dependability. InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. Also, we need your prayers, and please continue to spread the word to friends and family and neighbors and community, whether you're listening on AM, FM, shortwave, internet, podcast, TV satellite. That's how we reach new people. It is so important that you understand we could be taken down. We could be shut down. So store the shows, record the shows, save the MP3s, and support the local AM and FM station that's carrying our show. Tell people about their audio streams. Because chances are, if they've got us on, they've got other great shows on there telling the truth. So just support the outlets. Don't not be appreciative of this. The globalists are doing everything they can to restrict free speech right now. Now let's go back to Wayne Madsen. Wayne Madsen of WayneMadsenReport.com, Infowars.com, investigative journalist joining us. Wayne, I want to now get into Hillary and your big report today. Evidence points towards Clinton running a parallel outsourced State Department. You show the graphs, you show the documents. You're being scholarly when you say, you know, that it suggested. I changed it to shows on InfoWars and said that was my decision because I've had Tosh Plumlee on 3 years ago, the first to blow the whistle, and say, you know, they use the import-export group to do this to this multinational consortium she's involved in. We now know that she's covered that up in the emails. We now know she got money to the foundation to then turn around and reciprocate. I mean, this is pretty much open and shut, but she thinks she could do this because she's got Tony Blair, Bill Clinton, and a bunch of other people involved. I guess the Vatican Bank, the list goes on and on. So you take us to a deeper level of the rabbit hole. Break it down for us. Go over these charts and where you think this is going.
Well, I guess it shouldn't be surprising that the Clintons are once again have been caught using their public office for personal enrichment. We know that this occurred when Bill Clinton was governor of Arkansas. We know it occurred when he was president of the United States. And now we discover that it occurred when Hillary was Secretary of State, and now she wants to be president of the United States. You know, when I first heard about this private email, I worked in the State Department Bureau of Diplomatic Security and in the Information System Security branch of the State Department. And there was such an easy way for her to avoid this scandal. All she had to do as the original classification authority state, look, all those emails that were in my my private server, I declassified them because I had the authority to do it. But instead, she did not do that. She went into cover-up mode. And, you know, it's the same old story in Washington. It's always the cover-up in many, many cases. It's worse than the initial infraction or crime, as we know from Watergate.
So it's extremely Nixonian.
Yes, absolutely. So the cover-up here, and when you look and then you say, well, why? What was she using this private email system for? And then you find out that she was using it to communicate with, Huma Abedin, her personal aide, who was getting a State Department salary. At the same time, she was drawing a consultant salary from a company started by a former Bill Clinton aide named Doug Band. The company's called Tenio. And it just so happens to have on its board of advisors Bill Clinton and Tony Blair. They're very, very tight with a lot of the George Soros operations. And then they're also tied in with the Clinton Foundation. So imagine this. Bill Clinton is an advisor to Tenio, which is based in New York and has offices all around the world. Yet he uses the Clinton Foundation to hire Tenio as a client. And that is just so standard. That's standard inside racketeering at its worst. So here you are. You're the head of this nonprofit Clinton Foundation. You're giving contracts to Tenio, yet you're also serving on the board of advisors of Tenio. That is a classic conflict of interest. And although we're dealing with one nonprofit and one profit-making company, I would think that the Justice Department should look into that.
It's a total pass-through. I mean, is this not a classic open and shut? So I'm asking you this question. How would they pull off textbook fraud with hundreds of millions nakedly unless they've been given green light by higher-ups that you're untouchable?
Well, I think that's part of it. There are laws for us, and then there are laws for them. The law does not apply equally across the board. We know that. We see examples of that every day and the and all these news.
Sure, Soros is allowed to be a famous Nazi collaborator, and he's worshipped by the ADL. But if you're not a Nazi and fight Nazis, they call you a Nazi. This is the upside down planet.
And we also now know from the emails that Hillary Clinton was using her position as Secretary of State to basically bribe foreign governments and foreign businessmen for donations to the Clinton Foundation. In other words, you want a favorable trade deal with the United States. Well, let's see if you can pony up some money to the Clinton Foundation. Now, one Canadian mining magnate who specializes in uranium mines donated some $31 million to the Clinton Foundation. And what happens? Bill Clinton goes over to Kazakhstan, talks to their president about giving this guy, Frank Giustra, in Canada, a favorable deal on uranium mining in Kazakhstan. That seems to be what this whole private email was centered on. Emails between Hillary and Bill and Soros and Chelsea Clinton Mazvinsky, who's actually married to the son of a disgraced congressman who was indicted for misconduct, Ed Mazvinsky. It goes on and on with the Clinton family. They have been using their public offices for personal gain and personal enrichment, and yet they have the audacity to seek a term as president for Hillary Clinton. I would hope people would actually look into this, and they don't have to take my word for it, but do independent research. And I'm not saying they got to go back and look at Monica Lewinsky and Whitewater. This scandal stands on its own ground.
Going back to how we started, who's worse, Joe Biden getting the nomination or Hillary? And do you think Biden's going to jump in? Here's the question. How big's the war, which is now confirmed mainstream news, between the Clintons and the Obama crew?
Well, there's always been an internecine war going on between these two camps. It's going to get worse when Biden announces. We already saw a little bit of that from the Hillary camp about them saying it was Biden who leaked the information from his dying son, Bo Biden, who died of cancer, that he wanted his dad to run for the presidency. Well, we're going to see if people are upset, if the Biden camp is upset over that from Hillary. They've seen nothing yet. When you look at the two, who's worse? Well, I think that's an issue where you look at Biden, longtime senator from Delaware. Let's face it, that's the Philadelphia area. You do not get elected to any office in the Delaware Valley unless you got some ties to some sort of unsavory activity, whether it's through unions or wealthy people in that area, businessmen. It's going to be there. But, Biden, I think we know what we're getting with Biden. We should know what we're getting with Hillary, but she always surprises us with yet another scandal because she's so in your face with this stuff. She doesn't care, and neither does her husband. They've never cared about
it. Speaking of that, here she was this weekend talking to one of her political minions, saying it's a conspiracy theory that she had a second server and another email to cover stuff up. I mean, even the head of the EPA had to step down when she got caught using a secret email. I mean, this is just incredible. And then she has the nerve to just say she's the most transparent in history. Here it is.
Gone further than anybody that I'm aware of in American history. Now, that's not a long history because we haven't had emails that long, but as long as we've had them, I've gone longer and farther to try to be as transparent as possible. Nobody else has done that.
And then there's another clip where she goes on to say it's a conspiracy theory. There's conspiracy theorists out there that are saying all this, so pretty arrogant.
Well, she used the term vast right-wing conspiracy, remember, when they were going after her husband for the whole Whitewater and Lewinsky matter. And later we found out that was much worse than what was reported, because Bill Clinton, during his affair with Monica Lewinsky, is even heard on the transcripts in the depositions that he was worried that there was a foreign power listening in to his phone calls with his girlfriend, Monica Lewinsky. And later on, it was determined that that foreign power was the Israeli intelligence service. So, I mean, they always downplay. They're masters at this. Hillary learned a lot from her husband, who really, I think, pioneered, how to actually lie with a smile on your face. And she just got away with it in that clip there, trying to say she's been transparent. Well, the entire Obama administration was in the least transparent administration in our history.
You always have a lot of big stories you tell me about off air that end up being print stories in Infowars.com. What are some of the other big stories you're working on right now and some of the other big shoes you think are going to be dropping?
Well, it's very interesting to see what's going on in the House now with Kevin McCarthy, who everybody thought was going to replace Boehner as Speaker, now dropping out of that race. I would look to see some real surprises in that Donnybrook right now. And one thing I can tell you is, and this comes up from out of the Pope's visit to the Capitol and his speech before the joint session, CNN had a hot mic present in a very restricted area. And if you've ever been to Capitol Hill and the House side, you know, you're not allowed, if you're not a member, you can't go into the actual well of the House of Representatives. You got to be a member or an authorized staffer. It's very restricted. So outside the door is where the Pope was going in. And that area was highly restricted only because of the presence of the Pope that day. It's usually restricted anyway, but it was really restricted at that point in time to only cleared members of the media and members of Congress and special guests of those members of Congress. And CNN picked up a hot mic of a woman saying, I ought to throw my shoe at him, you know, obviously referring to the Pope. CNN did not identify who stated that. And through some voice analysis done by some people that I know, and a phone call by the media to her office, it's quite clear that the person who said that was none other than Representative Kay Granger from your state of Texas. She represents the San Antonio, the Fort Worth area.
We'll be back. Stay there. More with Wayne Madsen. I'm Alex Jones. Segment with Wayne Madsen. Then David Knight takes over in the fourth hour. As you can clearly see, we're going to move towards more shows, more programs, more news. Very soon, I'll start announcing some of the AM, FM new affiliates, also the UHF, VHF, and cable. Got quite a lot of those signing on as we tweak some of our feeds and tones and digital things. A lot of computer stuff involved. In the face of this tyranny, we're not putting on half measures. We're really trying to stop it. And Wayne, Congress has a 9% approval rating running for about 3 years now. Obama has one of the lowest ever. The Republican leadership does. Despite all the big police state builds up that we see, there is a lot of signs of good things happening. Our military doesn't want to be part of overthrowing Assad. The Russians have come in to stand up against this, very popular with Americans. There is some good things happening. I mean, it seems there's got to be some end to the corruption and the flim-flam and the fluff. They may have half the public, part Republican, part Democrat, totally dumbed down and stupid. They may have brought in 40 million people that aren't really Americans and are confused. But still, at the end of the day, there are a lot of folks of every race, color, and creed and religion, whether they be Christian, Muslim, or agnostic, or Jewish, or whatever, who realize we've really got crazy corruption going on, and now the economy's getting ready to collapse. All that news is there. I mean, confidence in this system is about to go down, and no amount of slick talk is going to put it back together again.
Well, that's right, and we know that the head of the Defense Intelligence Agency, the former head, Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, was fired last year because he objected to the U.S. supporting the most radical jihadists in Syria, most of which, as I mentioned, are non-Arabs. They're Chechens, they're Uyghurs from Western China. They're even recruiting people from Indonesia to go and move to Syria and Iraq to take this land over for the Islamic Caliphate. There are people I know, and I've heard from them directly in the CIA, who do believe that John Brennan, the director, is too pro-Saudi. So I know there was a former FBI agent, I believe his name is John Guandalo, who said that he thought that Brennan converted to Wahhabist Islam when he was the CIA station chief in Riyadh. Now, at the, you don't have to convert to show that you're at least sympathetic to their cause. This is one of the most radical forms of Islam there is, if not the most
radical.
And
it's got the Saudi backing in trillions, so why not sign on to it?
Absolutely. And you know, with Brennan training these jihadists in secret camps in Turkey and Qatar and Saudi Arabia.
Oh, it's clear. A large faction of the globalists are not just trying to create a clash of civilizations. They're going past the Bushes and Cheney, and they're going, why don't we just take over?
Absolutely. And so you got a lot of these jihadists trained by the CIA now showing up in Europe, young men with cell phones, refugees with cell phones, ATM cards, and a lot of cash. Where are they getting that from? And they've already had horrendous rapes reported in Germany and Austria. There were Germans on the street in Munich for Oktoberfest who were confronted by these Muslims, jihadist type radicals saying, put the beer away, do not drink
alcohol.
Anybody
comes up and says, put my beer down or my pretzel, I'm going to punch them in the nose. I don't care who they are.
You can imagine what happened in Munich during Oktoberfest when some big Germans were told to do that. There were brawls on the street, as you can imagine. But they're talking about Angela Merkel, who is responsible for this mess, getting the Nobel Peace Prize.
God, this woman is unbelievable. Wayne, do five more minutes and then David Knight's taking over. I wanted to kick it to him because he's got a big show lined up, but five more minutes to have you kind of confirming what the last guest was saying. I mean, it's definitely a triple cross here. And I don't know, I mean, why would they want to bring in hundreds of thousands of jihadis, clearly that are sleeper cells? Is it to menace Europe, then take all the rights because of the threat and persecute Muslims? Or is it a end game to actually repopulate the world with a giant Muslim population? I mean, this is just over the top because they're telling Germans you can't wear a skirt. I mean, you know, it's clobbering time, folks. We'll be back. Stay with us.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Broadcasting worldwide, ladies and gentlemen. Final segment, then I'm going to hand the baton off to David Knight in the Situation Room. Can we call this the Situation Room or that studio? I haven't come up with the right names for it yet. Wayne Madsen's our guest. If we follow the Saudi British intelligence neocon globalist pattern, we know a lot of neocons are advising Obama. It's a very sick mix of socialist, communist, mega bankers, ultra rich Hollywood types, and neocon Trotskyite, Dr. Strangelove people. If they follow the past pattern, they'll flood us with a bunch of radical Muslims. They'll shoot up a bunch of churches, stores, malls, synagogues, military bases, recruiting centers. Everybody's going to get mad. There'll be a big deportation that's for show, big walls built that are keep us in. And then they'll use that crisis for more draconian police state. Then there'll be a clash of civilizations. And we won't go after Saudi Arabia that quarterbacked it, or Turkey that, you know, helped do it. It'll be, you know, blame Iran or blame, you know, some other country that wasn't part of it, just like 9/11 with Iraq. And I think that's probably what's happening. But then I see the size of the influx and a lot of the other behavior, and Saudi Arabia is so pleased, and it makes me think it might be something else. Wayne, we got 4 minutes left. What do you really think's going on?
Well, we know that Saudi Arabia offered to build 200 mosques for the Muslims in Germany. And that's an indication that they expect these people to stay permanently. We're talking about anywhere from 1.5 to 3 million refugees just from Syria alone. That doesn't count the ones that are taking advantage of Europe dropping its border restrictions, that are coming in from North Africa, Sub-Sahara Africa, South Asia, Afghanistan, Pakistan, as far away as Bangladesh, coming to Europe, taking advantage of this situation. So Merkel, who is the most unpopular chancellor in Germany right now, and you might say even probably right now even more unpopular than Adolf Hitler was, even when they started losing on the battlefield, they're talking about her getting the Nobel Peace Prize. Of course, Henry Kissinger got that, and a couple other undeserving
Al Gore.
People.
Barack Obama.
How Barack many? Obama, right. We just had the bombing of the hospital in Afghanistan, and he thinks he, you know, because he has a Nobel Peace Prize, just an apology to the Doctors Without Borders will suffice. But anyway, it is a huge mess. But look, the reason Russia and China and Iran are sending troops to Syria, that's their line in the sand. They do not want to see in Moscow, Beijing, and Tehran what's happening on the streets of Munich, Hamburg, Vienna, and Budapest. They do not
sure, want to they see- know it's a destabilization program and have said that.
And they're circling the wagons, and Russia's deploying their most sophisticated military forces to Syria and now to Iraq, because Iraq has now asked for Russian military intervention there against ISIS, because we have not been battling ISIS. We've been supporting them, training
and
them.
And isn't the breakdown of the narrative show one of the biggest defeats for the globalist in a long time? Joel Skousen says it's a stunning victory against the New World Order.
Yes, absolutely. So I see NATO complaining about this, because NATO is nothing more than the gendarmes or the centurions for the European central banks. I mean, they're the enforcement arm.
They're the Praetorian Guard.
Yes, and one of the reasons I'm told is why Merkel has allowed this influx is they know that the EU is days are numbered, and this is a way to eventually impose some sort of martial law in Europe.
Yeah, three countries are saying they're going to leave the euro over this. I mean, this is just crazy. This shows how people running the West really want to destroy it and break it when they're in control of it. It's total mental illness. WayneMadsenReport.com. Thank you for the amazing reporting. And hey, you've pitched us where you want to go. Investigative report. Great. You're going soon. Can't wait to see that. Also, pitch us where you want to go on the campaign trail as this heats up, Wayne. Thank you so much.
Okay. Good to be with you.
It's good to have him on the team. So exciting. We've got a new camera, folks. We got enough camera crews. Now we just hired two more camera people, and so we can actually have the people we need. Thank you for the support, folks. Hey, a whole other 55 minutes coming up with David Knight and his piercing analysis straight ahead. The nightly news tonight, 7 o'clock Central with Leanne McAdoo. Jakari's getting on a plane right now to go out to Oregon to cover that.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
It's Monday, October 8th, 2015. I'm David Knight, your host. We have a lot of things to talk about. Of course, there were some major developments in the race for GOP leadership. This is a very, very important development. It's a very, very important position. You have to understand, Speaker of the House is third in line to the presidency, just below the vice president. So this is a very powerful position. We've seen this used in a very powerful way by John Boehner to shut down any opposition to the bipartisan agenda that is going through with both Boehner and the leaders of the GOP. So this development that happened today with the number two that was selected for Boehner, they were trying to push him in. We had just yesterday at 9 o'clock last night, an article came out that Dick Cheney was pushing Kevin McCarthy, the House Majority Leader. That's the number two position, pushing him to take Boehner's place as Speaker of the House. Today, that all collapsed. We're going to talk about that. We also have information on thyroid cancer in children is skyrocketing near Fukushima. We have the Supreme Court saying that forced vaccines for children don't violate their rights either. Okay. Forget about informed consent. Okay. And you have to understand, whatever your position is on vaccines, you should be scared to death of the fact that the government is taking away our informed consent. That should frighten you, regardless of what you believe in terms of the science. We were warned by one of the founders, Benjamin Rush, that if we did not specifically protect our freedom to have our medical freedom, that we would lose it to a medical tyranny, an organized collective. You know, something like Big Pharma and the AMA. We're now seeing that coming through. We're also going to talk about a giant city that's being built by a multinational defense corporation. It's going to be something that's going to war game against the American citizens, folks. That's what this is really about. Developing a lot of technologies, security technologies, self-driving transportation technologies, which is about control of your movements. Also, surveillance technology. This is a major defense contractor. They're building a billion-dollar city, 35,000 people. It could hold, but they're not going to have any humans in it. They'll also be able to experiment with robots, they say, in this area. Let me tell you what. This is a city with the details all the way down to church buildings and other things like that. You don't need that if you got a self-driving car test bed. You don't need to have that. But for other things, like asymmetric warfare, yeah, you do need to have that. If you want a really war game against the American people, and we've seen this. I went to Fort AP Hill in Virginia with Joe Biggs. We walked through a small ghost town, a city that was set up for the military and the police to train against the American people. There are other sites and other military bases like Camp Lejeune that are more rural, more suburban. This one is going to have everything. This is something that they've been working on since 2011. There's been stories going back a couple of years about this. It was interesting because yesterday there was a slew of stories that came out about this. CNN, Forbes, Daily Mail showing pictures, talking about what they're going to build. So it's close being upon us. Also, we're going to talk about how the police are using private databases to skirt the law yet again. We see this kind of structure where they say that this is data that belongs to a private corporation. And if the private corporation is collecting data on you, then that data on you belongs to the private corporation, and they don't have to get a search warrant to share it. That is the legal fiction that we need to correct. There's so many things that need to be fixed in this country. We need to get back to the Constitution. And again, that brings us back to this speaker race. And I want to get to that in just a moment, break that down in detail, what's going on with it, what could happen in the future. First, I want to let you know real quickly, we have 20% off Prostagard this week at InfoWarsLife.com. That's how we support the operation here, and that's how you can support your health. Prostagard uses plant-based nutrients and oxidants to naturally support the prostate. It's a hand-selected blend of sal palmetto, lycopene, plant sterols, zinc, vitamin D3, selenium, copper. Get your Prostagard today. It's available in stock at 20% off at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com. Excuse me. Now, before we go back to the speaker race, I want to read you an article that came up yesterday. I thought it was really brilliant satire, actually, that Reason Magazine did. It was linked on the Drudge Report. How to create a gun-free society in just five easy steps. Well, the first one is you've got to elect enough senators and representatives to get on your side to amend the Constitution. Then you have to propose that amendment. You have to ratify that amendment. Then you need to legislate what they call, quote-unquote, common sense gun reform. Well, you can try to do, as they say, what Australia did and ban all guns, but that's not at all what they did. But whatever, right? They say, go big or go home. So anyway, you're going to get your legislation. But then comes step five. How are you going to enforce your complete gun ban? Well, they say guns won't just disappear because you passed a law, you know. You're going to need to confiscate some 350 million guns scattered amongst 330 million Americans. Sure, you can try a buyback program like Australia, but like Australia, that'll still leave behind 60 to 80% of the privately owned firearms. The rest of those, you're going to have to take. Now, they say you can use the police, the FBI, the ATF, the National Guard. They're all known for their nuanced approach to potentially dangerous situations. I love that satire. They can have them go door to door through 3.8 million square miles of this country. You can have them try to take the guns by force from thousands, if not millions, of well-armed individuals, many of whom would rather start a civil war than acquiesce. So inevitably, gun violence, which is really what you're trying to stop, right? And it's currently at an historic low, will skyrocket. But that's how you get a gun-free America. Let me tell you something. You know, when Governor Cuomo says he thinks that we need to shut down the federal government until we ban guns, let me tell Governor Cuomo and Obama, if you want to try to take our guns, we'll shut the government down for you, okay? There are many people who would rather have a civil war than to lose their right to keep and bear arms, because that is fundamental to our freedom as individuals. It's something that is recognized in the Constitution, and until you get rid of the Constitution, you're not going to get them. And when you get rid of the Constitution, then we've got something to talk about. We don't want that to happen. How do we stop a civil war from happening? We have to stop it by stopping this kind of movement, this kind of politicization of the Constitution, trying to remove the Second Amendment. One of the ways that we need to stop this, of course, is by getting involved. Right now, the House GOP leadership, which has been thoroughly on board with Obama and the Democrats on their shared agendas, whether it's Obamacare, whether it's the Trans-Pacific Partnership, these guys are all on the same page. And we have an opportunity right now. I think many people don't realize how good this opportunity is. As I pointed out at the beginning of the segment, Dick Cheney yesterday at 9:30 was endorsing Kevin McCarthy. He says, we are in one of the most difficult and challenging periods of our history. Well, Dick Cheney was right about that. And one of the reasons that we're in that kind of a position is because of people like Dick Cheney. He says, it's more important than ever that we have strong conservative leadership in the House of Representatives. That's right. And that's not what Kevin McCarthy or John Boehner represent. Now, let me give you a little bit of history here, because you need to think about this and understand that we really do have an opportunity to jump in here for a big win. Remember that Eric Cantor, in the last election, he was a previous House Majority Leader. That's the number two position in the House. You have House Speaker as the top position, then House Leader. He lost his reelection bid to a complete unknown that he outspent 40-1. This guy was an economics professor, but he allied himself with the Tea Party. People understood that he was a true conservative, and they were fed up with people like Eric Cantor and John Boehner and Paul Ryan and Dick Cheney, who have sold us down the river, telling us that they stand for one thing and then voting with the Democrats repeatedly. So Cantor, in spite of outspending his opponent 40-1, resigned. And guess what? He went to work for an investment bank immediately. I don't know that he went to work for them, or if maybe he just changed his job title from consultant in Congress to vice chairman, but that's where he went. This is the first time a sitting House Majority Leader had lost their seat since 1899. It can be done. A small, determined number of people can affect change. We can get these people out. Now, what about John Boehner? When they elected the Republicans and they had a larger majority in the House, they had a majority in the Senate, and Boehner and McConnell chose to do nothing about open borders, chose to do nothing about Obamacare. Back in January, a representative named Daniel Webster ran against John Boehner, only got 12 votes. But still, that's, I think, important. When you stand up and speak truth to power, when you stand against power, even when you know you're going to lose, I think that shows someone with backbone. He's now running again, and he was dismissed as being somebody that had absolutely no chance. We were told that Kevin McCarthy was going to be a shoo-in because he was the guy that was picked to replace Eric Cantor. He was the hand-picked successor to John Boehner by the leadership. Then go to this summer, just before they went to recess. Mark Meadows introduced a vacate the chair motion. Remember that? Vacate the chair, John Boehner. Step down, that we have no confidence in you. At first, we were told by the mainstream media, this is a joke. It's not going anywhere. This has no chance of succeeding. Surprisingly, they did a head count, and they found they didn't have the votes. So they put this off until after recess, thinking, I guess, that they could twist some arms during summer recess and get it back. Then we had a surprise resignation by Boehner immediately after the Pope's visit. And we were told, though, that Kevin McCarthy was going to be the number two guy. Then about a week ago, Kevin McCarthy goes on the Sean Hannity show, and he admits that Benghazi, the Benghazi investigation, was nothing more than a political move. And I agree with that. I think that's absolutely true, on his part, at least. I think there were people who really wanted to investigate this, who really wanted to prosecute the crimes. Those are the people who are now aligning to get these people out. But you know, we've said over and over again, with all these investigations of Obama, of Eric Holder, of Hillary Clinton, they really don't want to get them out of office. They don't want to impeach them. They don't want to put them in jail. They don't want to reform the government. They just want to score cheap political points. And so we had an admission of that. Now there are people who are calling for an ethics investigation. Hillary Clinton is able to portray herself as a victim and not a criminal. And then we have a major development today. We'll talk about it when we come back. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight on the fourth hour of the news wrap-up. We're going to continue with what's going on in the House race. This is something that is very, very important. It's an opportunity for you to get involved and have impact on something that is far more imminent and every bit as important as a presidential race. Get involved. Contact your congressman. We're going to talk about who the players are here. Understand, this is going to happen within the next month. This is coming up very quickly. The presidential race, if you want to get involved in that, if you think that makes a big difference, and it does in a couple of different issues, most issues, there's not much difference there. But you've got an entire year to look at that. This is going to happen very quickly. We have a block of conservatives who are standing together like they're at the Alamo here against the unified party leadership of both parties. And this is something that is very important on a number of different issues. Even people who are Democrats need to get involved in this, because this is going to affect the Trans-Pacific Partnership that is coming up, the transatlantic partnerships, and many other trade situations that are coming down the pike that really don't have anything to do with free trade. We need to make common cause on the fact that this is not about free trade versus unions versus any of these economic issues, or even corporations versus exporting jobs. This is about global governance. This is about losing our sovereignty. This is about corporations taking over our government. They said they reached an agreement several days ago. Have you seen it yet? No. But I've seen a lot of comments from the corporations and from their representatives in Congress, because that's who they represent. They don't represent you, these people at the top, talking about how they didn't like this or they didn't like that. They know exactly what's in it because they wrote it, and they haven't bothered to show it to you yet because they don't think you matter. They don't think you're a stakeholder. I want to get back to this, but before I do, I've got Leanne McAdoo joining me. Usually we do this at the very end of the show, talk about what's coming up on the nightly news. Leanne's coming in early to talk to me because she's got a lot of very interesting interviews lined up for tonight's nightly news. Tell us about it, Leanne.
Yeah, it'll be a jam-packed show tonight for sure. Obviously, we're going to be talking about Hillary's flip-flop on the TPP. As well, we'll be speaking with Wayne Madsen. Going to dig deep into this shadow government that seems to be run out of Hillary Clinton's State Department. And of course, you know, let's just go back to Donald Rumsfeld and his famous, well, there might be $2.3 trillion unaccounted for. And then boom, the next day, 9/11 happens. So we know this shadow government, this type of stuff, and these misplacement of funds has been going on for a long time. So we're going to dig into that. I'm also going to be speaking with Richard Gage. They're premiering their documentary, Firefighters, Architects, and Engineers Expose the Myths of 9/11. And I'm really excited to talk to
Richard Gage is the head of that organization.
Yes.
Architects and Engineers Exposing 9/11.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And I'm really excited to get to speak with him, because they were just at a two-day event. It was an annual summit of the National Council of Structural Engineers Association. So they had set up a booth there for the Architects and Engineers of 9/11 Truth, set up a booth there with more than 1,000 structural engineers attending this event. So I'm interested to see what they had to say, bringing this message to a larger group of people.
Very much so, because, you know, when you look at that, you look at the official conspiracy theory that these buildings just fell down, that two of them were hit by planes and subsequently fell down from a fire, and a third building, which wasn't even hit by a plane, but again, a steel skyscraper just fell down on its own. And we understand that going back many, many decades, the Empire State Building was struck by a plane. Nothing happened to it. We've seen fires with buildings over and over again. And after the Empire State Building was struck with a plane, they had to build these things to code so that they wouldn't fall down when they were hit with a plane. Of course, they didn't topple over. It just collapsed as a controlled demolition. But isn't it also interesting, if anybody wants to buy into the official conspiracy theory, isn't it interesting that there haven't been any lawsuits against the engineers who designed these buildings for not designing them to withstand what everybody knew was a threat, which is part of the building code? Right. I mean, I just, it's so amazing on so many different levels that they could get away with this and that people would just buy into this. I mean, we've got engineers and architects for 9/11 Truth. We've got pilots for 9/11 Truth saying planes can't fly at that speed, at that altitude, and over again, experts who know their field. And yet it's so difficult to get people to listen to anything other than the official conspiracy theory of the government.
Right, exactly. And now firefighters as well coming out and speaking out about this. So a lot of people, you know, it's 14 years later, but this story isn't going away. And now finally people are speaking out about it. And to get rid of that sickness of the American people that Matt Drudge spoke about. And then also with this SB 277 going on in California, the mandatory vaccines, I'm also going to be speaking with Jeffrey Jackson of jeffreyjackson.com. We're going to be talking about, is removing your child from a vaccine tracking system an option?
Very, very important. Again, Important to see these interviews tonight. Leanne McAdoo is going to be doing that in the nightly news. We just had an article today. We'll talk about this a little bit more. Supreme Court says mandatory vaccines don't violate children's constitutional rights. Really? Really? We'll see about that. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Thanks, Leanne.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight on this Thursday, October 8th, 2015. This is the fourth hour of the news wrap-up. I want to talk to you about something that is very, very important, an opportunity for you to get involved in a way that really matters. And we've been talking about the fact that we're looking at the House trying to find a replacement for John Boehner. It was a conservative victory to get John Boehner out. And today we had his hand-picked successor bow out of the race as well. So we need to look carefully at who's in the mix and look at how this developed. I think it's very telling to see how this developed. It shows that we have an opportunity to really change fundamentally the direction of the House GOP, and that would make a big difference in getting some opposition to the current bipartisan agenda that is taking us down the road to servitude. Now, just yesterday, we were seeing articles like this on CNN. House Republicans are poised to select a speaker nominee. They all believe that it was going to be Kevin McCarthy. We had Dick Cheney endorsing Kevin McCarthy. We were told by all the mainstream media, Fox News, CNN, all of them, oh, yeah, he's a shoo-in. He's gonna be the guy that's going to come in. We had a guy jump in this last Sunday, Jason Chaffetz out of Utah. He said he didn't think that Kevin McCarthy had the votes, so he offered himself. Well, we're going to talk about him in just a moment, but I want to focus on the conservatives' reaction. Because as all of this was happening yesterday, as the mainstream media was telling us that Kevin McCarthy had the votes, it was going to be done today, going to be done this morning, they'd be finished, we saw a different story coming from some channels. We saw an article that said conservatives insist that Kevin McCarthy is not certain to become a speaker. They said that the House Freedom Conference spokesperson, the leader, Jordan, the group's chairman, said, "We have every intention of voting together. We need to understand that this is a fluid situation." Later in the night, we saw reports that said that the House Freedom Caucus would back Congressman Daniel Webster for Speaker of the House. Now, maybe you haven't heard of Daniel Webster. He turns out to be the only one in the race right now between the three of them. Well, and actually, Kevin McCarthy has dropped out. So Jason Chaffetz supports the Trans-Pacific Partnership. He supported the fast-track trade agreement, allowing the president to do whatever he wanted, throwing away the constitutional process that allowed us to have ratifications of treaties, supporting the fiction that the TPP is not a treaty, supporting the idea that this massive reorganization of government and of our trade for the 21st century and of the freedom of the internet, that all that should be done in secret by corporations. And when they present their manifesto to Congress, it ought to be rubber stamped. That's what they were voting for when they voted for the fast track authorization. And so Daniel Webster opposed that. Someone else who opposed that was Mark Meadows, the guy who introduced the motion to vacate the seat for Speaker Boehner, which ultimately resulted in him losing his seat. Mark Meadows was thrown off of a subcommittee chair because he opposed the fast-track trade deal for the Trans-Pacific Partnership. You know who threw him off? Jason Chaffetz, the new fresh face of the establishment. That's what this guy is. When Kevin McCarthy had his gaffe on the Sean Hannity show a week ago last Wednesday, it was just 4 days later that Jason Chaffetz came out, and we talked about his background. I think it was on Monday when I did the fourth hour. We talked about the fact that his father was the campaign manager for Dukakis, had been married to Dukakis's wife, the former Democrat presidential candidate. He appeared on the political scene as a Tea Party candidate in 2009. So his family's been on both sides of this. That wasn't enough really to damn him. But the fact that he would throw Mark Meadows off of a subcommittee chairmanship because he didn't support fast track shows that he's cut out of the same cloth as Boehner. He's not only thoroughly in with the establishment agenda of both parties' leadership, But he is also willing to punish people just like Boehner was. And now he's thrown himself in as an alternative to Kevin McCarthy. So now it appears at this moment, unless somebody else comes into the running, that the race is between Daniel Webster and Jason Chaffetz. Now, Jason Chaffetz says that the fact that he threw Mark Meadows off of the committee because he opposed fast-track trade and then reinstated him, he says that shows that he's someone who's learned from his experiences. No, not really. Because the House rules say that if the majority of the committee wants to go against the leadership that threw him off the committee, they can reinstate the chair. And that was precisely what they were about to do with Mark Meadows. They were going to reinstate him. That would have been an embarrassment, a rebuke to Jason Chaffetz. So he did it himself so he wouldn't have looked, so he wouldn't look bad. This guy now wants to be speaker. He is going to be a John Boehner. Different face, same person. So today what we found, and it was very interesting, this happened just a couple of hours ago, even though everyone was saying that McCarthy was poised to clinch GOP's nomination for speaker, but it's only the first step. That was NPR headlines just this morning. That's what NPR said. Then a few hours later, that was at 7:56 a.m. at 12:36 p.m., 4 hours later, they say McCarthy drops out of the House speaker race, throwing the GOP leadership into chaos. You know, another definition for chaos, as Doug Casey likes to point out, we've had him on multiple times talking to Alex Jones. Doug Casey, the investment advisor, says chaos, the Chinese symbol for that, is danger and opportunity. They combine those two graphics together to get the word chaos. That's what we have right now in the GOP leadership race. We have danger and we have opportunity. The danger is that we're going to continue to go down this same statist path that is shared by the leadership of both parties. Or we have the opportunity to do something about that. They're going to have the vote on the 29th. That's when Boehner is going to be leaving about that time. You need to be involved right now. And it looks like the person who we've got two choices at the moment, unless they come up with somebody else. The two choices right now are Daniel Webster, a man who voted against the Trans-Pacific Partnership, against fast-track trade. And we have Jason Chaffetz, who would throw people off of committees if they didn't toe the line on fast-track trade. That's the choice that you've got right now. I don't know much about Daniel Webster, but I do know that he stood up to John Boehner when nobody would stand with him. That's called leadership. That's called backbone. That's called character. We need to support people like that. And the House Freedom Caucus, a group of 40 people, did precisely that. 40 congressmen in the House did that. It's a small block. But we know that if people will hang together as a small group, they can affect change. That's what we've seen happen with Boehner getting thrown out. That's what we saw happen with Eric Cantor, now Kevin McCarthy being thrown out. It's an opportunity. You need to push hard on this. This makes a much bigger difference than the presidential race. Don't get focused on the presidential race right now. Focus on what is about to happen. Now, let me tell you what happened at the meeting this morning, because just in 4 hours, I read you those two headlines, one from NPR saying, McCarthy's got it. He's clinched it. And the next one, he steps down. Well, they say Tom Rooney, Republican of Florida, said the meeting opened and Republicans said their pledge to the allegiance. Then McCarthy stood up and took himself out of the race. The prohibitive favorite said that he didn't want members to take arrows voting for him, so he is taking himself out of contention. Speaker Boehner then immediately moved to adjourn the meeting, and Rooney said there was, quote, total shock. And some members were audibly crying. I wonder which members were crying. Do you think it might have been John Boehner? Do you think John Boehner would have been crying? I wish I had audio of that. I'd like to hear the total shock from John Boehner and watch him crying on the podium as his hand-picked successor bows out of the race. This is the opportunity. Now, McCarthy said, for us to unite, we probably need a fresh face. Let me tell you something. That's precisely why Jason Chaffetz was put into this position by the leadership, to offer a fresh, unknown face who is going to do precisely what Boehner and the rest of them have done on all of these issues. And right now, if you don't look anywhere beyond the TPP, let's get people who are Republicans and Democrats who understand how dangerous, how unconstitutional this whole process is of the fast-track trade, of the Trans-Pacific, Transatlantic partnerships. Let's all come together and shut down these people in leadership who want to do this. This is an opportunity. Call your representatives and tell them that you don't want them to vote for Chaffetz, but you want them to get somebody else like Daniel Webster or someone who is actually going to stand on principle, who's going to stand on the Constitution. Very, very important that we do that. They say that many are criticizing Boehner and the leadership for stunts, like resigning the day after Pope Francis addressed a joint meeting of Congress. Yeah, absolutely. It was a stunt, but it was something that was forced upon him by determined leaders. Now, Representative Daniel Webster furthermore came out and he said he wasn't going to back McCarthy even if he was chosen. This is the kind of guy that we need to have, somebody who is going to stand up to power. And again, the House Freedom Caucus met last night and said in a block that they were going to vote on him out of personal principle. We need to support those people. We need more people like that. But a block of 40 people who will stand for the Constitution and the Republican Party is a block that we need to support. Now, moving on to the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and how is this going to play into some of the races that are going to come up later on? It's interesting to see that Joe Biden is the only possible presidential candidate in the Democrat side who is still backing these transatlantic, trans-Pacific partnerships. AP reports that if he runs, Joe Biden would be the only Democrat backing the Asian trade deal. They say he became the only prospective or current Democrat presidential candidate to support the TPP on Wednesday as Clinton flipped her position. You understand she supported it. You understand that Hillary Clinton supported the Keystone Pipeline. The State Department supported the Keystone Pipeline even against the Obama administration when she was head of it. Now she says she's against the Keystone Pipeline. Now, again, we could talk about the Keystone Pipeline. We could talk about safety issues of it. Some people are concerned. I don't share their concern that it's going to make global warming worse, that it's going to be more pollution. I don't agree with that. But before we get to that issue, the thing that sticks with me on the Keystone Pipeline is the fact that it uses eminent domain to take private property from individuals and give it to a private entity. Do you understand? Eminent domain is bad enough when the government takes it from you for the public use. But to have your property taken from you, your private property, taken from you by force, by the government, and handed to another private individual, that is abhorrent. It should be abhorrent to anyone who supports the idea, the principle of private property. And that's precisely what is happening with the Keystone Pipeline, if it goes through. It's something that is far worse than the Kelo versus London Supreme Court decision. And again, the Supreme Court decision, how many times do they have to be wrong on how many issues before we start to say that they do not alter the law, they do not alter the Constitution, it is an opinion, and we've seen them reverse their opinions on things like the Dred Scott decision, for example, but also more recently, understand that back in 1917, the Supreme Court said that there was no First Amendment when it came to movies. Do you realize that? There was actually a movie producer who went to jail, one of the first people prosecuted under the 1917 Espionage Act. He went to jail for several years. He was fined an exorbitant amount for the time, and it was because he had produced a movie that was critical of the British during the Revolutionary War. He produced a movie about the Revolutionary War that showed the British as villains, and Woodrow Wilson wanted to get into World War I with the British on the British side, and he didn't want a movie that showed the British as villains. So what they did was they sent this guy to prison, gave him a major fine. Supreme Court didn't have a problem with that. They said there is no First Amendment when it comes to movies. They later reversed that in the 1950s. The Supreme Court has been on many different sides of important issues, frequently wrong, and they are not amending the Constitution when they make their decision. They are not creating law when they make their decision. We need to get over that. But again, going back to the Kelo versus London eminent domain decision, that was where they said that the city could take it from one individual, take the property of several property owners and turn it over to someone for a project in that area. Understand how much worse the Keystone Pipeline is. In this particular case, it's not being turned over from many private individuals in one area to one well-connected individual in the area, like Donald Trump, for example. He's done this many times. But in the case of the Keystone Pipeline, it's being turned over to a transnational corporation. It's being turned over to a Canadian company. a company that's not even American is able to come in and use the American government to seize property from American individuals. That should be enough to put a stake through the Keystone Pipeline's heart. But Hillary Clinton supported it. Hillary Clinton's State Department supported it. Now she says she doesn't support it. Do you trust her on that? At least Donald Trump has consistently been wrong on eminent domain. And again, I've reported on this many times, showing how he's essentially like the villains in the movie Up, the Pixar movie Up, trying to take that guy's house. He did precisely that in New Jersey. And he was on Bret Baier on Fox News on Tuesday evening, again, doubling down on this, praising the government seizing private property from individuals in order to build a massive development, he says, that's going to employ thousands of people. Or you're going to build a factory. That without this little house, you can't build that factory. So just take that little house and give it over to the big corporate guys like Donald Trump and let them stamp all over your private property rights. Understand, I agree with Donald Trump on many issues. I disagree with him on some really fundamental things like eminent domain. And don't tell me that he is in this as some kind of an altruistic thing, that he's going to spend all of his money and to become president so he can save us, okay? This is a guy who's used the government to confiscate other people's property for his projects. Marco Rubio is hitting out on Donald Trump, and I don't support Rubio either, but at least he's got it right that we shouldn't be supporting the government trampling on individual property rights. But folks, that's precisely what's going on with the Trans-Pacific Partnership. It's not only our property rights that are being trampled on, it's all kinds of copyright issues, and it is another move to support internet censorship. When I talked to Leanne McAdoo on the nightly news, I think it was on Tuesday night, we talked about this Strong Cities Network that is coming out. That was something that was announced the previous week at the United Nations. That is an effort to politicize and criminalize non-politically correct speech. They define radical extremists, and this is a movement that began in Europe. They said when they announced it at the UN, when the Department of Justice put out their press release about the Strong Cities Network, they said that this was going to be administered by this European think tank. And that European think tank has focused on extremism being defined as anyone who is anti-immigrant, anti-Islam. They want to do everything they can to bring down Europe as it has been. I mean, I remember going back to Europe, when I was between high school and college, traveling around, and it was absolutely amazing. These countries, in most cases, were quite a bit smaller than American states, and every one of them had their own culture, their own language, their own currency, and had had it for quite some time. That has been dissolved by deliberate design. The Trans-Pacific Partnership is another move to consolidate these blocks that they're creating into a global governance. It's being done without our authorization. They are criminalizing anyone who attempts to speak out against it, demonizing them as xenophobic, as racist. And that is the internet censorship is one of the ways that they're going to come at us with that. Stay with us. When we come back, I want to tell you about this new city that's being built in New Mexico. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show for this final segment of the fourth hour. I'm David Knight. We've been talking about the developments in the search for a new House leader and how that reflects on the TPP. We have an article up on Infowars.com how the TPP could lead to worldwide internet censorship. Understand, folks, that the corporations are going to be censoring for the government, and the way they're going to do that is to use copyright. It's a win-win situation for the two of them. It's a symbiotic relationship for the corporations, for the governments. And of course, the TPP allows corporate governance. Julian Assange said about the TPP, the deal isn't about trade, it's about corporate control. He is absolutely right. Let me read you some other quotes about the TPP. And this is coming up. This is why it's very important for us to have, not have, a House Speaker like Jason Chaffetz, who will throw people off of leadership of committees because they oppose fast-track trade. It's important for us to have someone who opposed that process, like Daniel Webster, who stood up against leadership. People like Mark Meadows, who stood down the speaker. He cost the speaker his seat because of those types of things. This is what Open Media says about it. They say internet users around the world should be very concerned about this ultra-secret pact, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. What we're talking about here is global internet censorship. It will criminalize our online activities. It will censor the web. It will cost everyday users money. This deal would never pass with the whole world watching. That's why they've negotiated it in total secrecy. Electronic Frontier says, we have no reason to believe that the TPP has improved much at all from the last leaked version released in August. We won't know until the U.S. Trade Representative releases the text. Ah, but the corporate giants and their congressional puppets, their congressional employees, do know. The minute they announced that this thing was done, we had people like Orrin Hatch, who is the employee of Big Pharma, saying, oh, I don't like the fact that they've changed the copyrights from 12 years to 5 years. I don't, for pharmaceutical drugs. You had Mitch McConnell say, yeah, well, they've taken away some of the suing capabilities of Big Tobacco, and on and on and on. All the corporate spokespersons, the people that we think of as senators and congressmen, but are really just corporate spokespersons, they all came out of the woodwork with their issues about what was in it that they didn't like. But they haven't bothered to tell us yet. So we can only guess about what's in it. And understand that when it's being sold as a trade agreement, why is it then that you've got all these organizations like Open Media and Electronic Frontier Foundation who are concerned about an open and free internet, about the First Amendment? Why are they so concerned about a trade deal? Because it's about a lot more than trade. We had Senator Sessions say this is about setting up global governance. He's one of the few people who have read it, who tried to explain to the Senate that they should not fast-track this process. We need to be very concerned, but we do have a ray of hope. We've got a lifeline that is there. We've got 40 people. The House Freedom Caucus got together and endorsed Daniel Webster against the hand-picked successor. And if we stand with those people, we can do something to make our government a bit more honest. One of the things that just came out, which is very distressing, not only did we have an article I talked about when Leanne was in here about the Supreme Court refusing to hear a lower court case that said that mandatory vaccines didn't violate children's constitutional rights by throwing them out of school. And it's interesting because they said that this was primarily health-related concerns, and it wasn't based in religion. Does that mean that unless we've got a religious objection, we don't have any right to say that we have informed consent to make decisions about our health? As I mentioned before, that's precisely what Benjamin Rush warned us about. And that's what we need to be involved. We have to be involved in this. This is the time to try to take back your government. You can have far more of a say-so right now. You need to get involved and do that. Join Leanne McAdoo tonight for the Nightly News. She has three dynamite interviews. Richard Gage, Jeffrey Jackson is going to be talking about how you can get off the vaccine tracking list. And Wayne Madsen will be talking about what Hillary Clinton's been up to. Join us at 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern tonight.